apply to something.
Certainly seems to be motivated.
So when I put this foot down, I put it as an angle. And then it's this slippery Mexican tiles. I think it just slips across the next one.
It's the Oceano Community Services District. It is Wednesday, June 12, 2013, 6:30 p.m. We have two agendas tonight. The first is the regular agenda, and then we have a notice of special meeting, which is running concurrently of that. I believe that there are agendas on the table over there if anybody wants to see them. This was posted yesterday. Jocelyn, can I get a roll call, please?
President Guerrero?
Present.
Vice President Lucy?
Present.
Director Hurdle?
Here.
Director Angelo?
Here.
And Director White?
Here.
All directors are present, as is District Legal Counsel and Mr. Keefe. So why don't we do the flag salute, item number 3. The Diversified Project Services International Contract. We will pull that off and table these until next time. And then I'll state my intention at this time on item 10E, which is the proposed budget for 2013-2014, would be to review it. But the board has just, the majority of the board has just received this yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes, and so because of the changes, I really want to applaud staff, Jocelyn, Marie, for working so hard on this and bringing this budget to look like a budget. Mm-hmm. And so, but we still do have the amendment of the 2012-2013 budget, but that's item D. Is there anything else that anybody else would like to discuss, pulling or tabling until another meeting at this time?
7B, I'd like to pull and call special at the bottom of the agenda.
So you want to set it until after 10J? So it'd be 10K? You want to make it?
That's
make,
fine.
7B. 7B, those are the cash disbursements?
Yeah.
So we'll make item K, cash disbursements.
10I. I'd like to just pull 10I for another meeting.
Correct.
Okay. What that is that's the employee policies and procedures. Is there any objection to putting 10I on the next meeting?
I don't have any problem with that.
That should go to personnel committee first.
Okay. So later in the meeting, if you'll remind me, we'll schedule a personnel committee meeting before the next meeting for that. Thanks. Anything, any other changes?
I had a question.
Yes, Jocelyn?
So the 10B.
Is your microphone on?
So you wanted to, on 10B, I believe it was?
Yeah, 10B will go down to, or excuse me, 7B will go down to 10K. We're going to renumber that and call that 10K for cash disbursements. It's going to be a business item.
Okay. And then 10E, we're still going to discuss it, right? We're not.
Yeah, I would still would like to present it so that way it's part of the record so that the board can consider it and discuss it. If anybody wants to make a public comment on it this evening, that would be acceptable. And so it could be considered, be in our consciousness, so to speak. All right. If there's no other changes, is there a motion to approve the? Oh, and then we also have the special meeting agenda. Yes. Not yet.
On that side of it. There you got it.
There. I wonder if this personnel committee review of the personnel policies and procedures, I think that you indicated you wanted to come back to the next meeting. I think I'd like a little bit more time than that, if you don't mind.
Okay.
That's fine.
That's fine.
Thank you.
That's fine. Since we're getting close to swearing you in, Gary, we'll give you a little time to catch that up.
Thank you.
The other item is the notice of special meeting. This is be a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceana Community Service District appointing Gary Keefe as the district's interim general manager. And is there any additions or changes, suggestions on this particular item? There's two items. One is the resolution and the other one would be the administration of the oath.
So let me just get this.
We're done the roll call. We'll do public comment.
Microphone, Chase.
Sorry. And then
it's off still.
Sorry.
And then do special right there?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
So it'll be 5A, correct? 5B.
Public comment. 5B?
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's just it's a meeting that's running concurrent.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So is there a motion to approve the special meetings agenda?
I so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries 5-0. That agenda is approved. Why don't we approve or disapprove the regular meetings agenda, and then we can move on. Then we'll take up the special meeting first. Is there a motion to approve the regular meetings agenda as modified?
I so move we approve the regular meeting as modified.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Is all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? That carries 5-0. Moving to the special meeting, I'll take public comment on this particular item. Is there any public comment on the special meeting? This is the... Good evening, Ms. Tacker.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker. I'm just from a procedural standpoint, this meeting is running concurrent. I don't know how many minutes.
You would have 3 minutes for this meeting, and then you would have your regular time for the next meeting.
Total.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
And then,
well, I'm not going to need that many.
hold on 1 second. Let me let's restart her time. Since it's...
I don't intend to use 3 full minutes. I do welcome Mr. Keefe. Look forward to his participation in the district. What I was looking for was an actual contract with him, with the scope of work and the details for the public to vet and comment on. And I'm sure we'll see that in the near future. But the resolution is kind of a promise that you're committing to Mr. Keefe, but it's not really, I don't see it as a contract for work. So when that is available, I look forward to seeing it.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment on the special meeting this evening? All right. Hearing none or seeing none, we'll move on to the business item. Item number A is the review and approval of Resolution 2013-09, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceana Community Services District, appointing Gary Keefe as the district's interim general manager, or IGM, as we like to call him for short. Is there any board discussion on this?
No, I'd just like to take the opportunity to welcome Mr. Keefe, you know, and to the great community of Oceano. Thanks. We appreciate and look forward to working with you.
I think we're all encouraged to using your experience. So. Thank you. Is there a motion to approve the resolution?
I'll make a motion that we approve the resolution 2013-09 of the Board of Directors for the Oceana Community Services District, appointing Gary Keefe as our district interim general manager.
Gary Keefe.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Welcome aboard, and I think we all look forward to you continuing the growth that we've been making, and this is going to be a very positive experience, I think. So,
thank you. I can tell you at this point I'm very impressed with this district. I'm especially impressed with your staff. I'm just the amount of work that's coming out of this small group is just astounding, so I think you should be proud of those folks. I know I am already.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We will then move on to our regular agenda, the Board of Directors meeting. The first item would be item number 5, public comments. Members of the public may comment on any get him within the jurisdiction. And I see Mr. Ogren wheeling up.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Good evening, President Guerrero, members of the board, district staff, and public. Bob Ogren, County Public Works Director. I'm just here for public comment real quick today because we have an issue that's quickly evolving associated with state water. For your revitalization, Mr. Flynn from our department is here for that particular agenda item. But the bottom line is, and there's going to be a very short window period on which decisions have to be made, and so I'm kind of planting the seed in your mind as to whether or not you might want to consider a special meeting next week. Mm-hmm. But the idea here is that a couple weeks ago, the governor declared some sort of a governor executive order, proclamation, or whatever, to promote transfers of water in California, considering what the water situation is. And as a result, this is the first time that the Department of Water Resources will allow for what's called a multi-year program or a multi-year pool. And that's where then next Tuesday, the Board of Supervisors will be considering on its agenda the participation in this multi-year pool. And because Oceano is a subcontractor on state water, it then begs that you may wish to consider it and take action as well. The really quick synopsis of the story is that the county's excess allocation then is up and available that we can put it into the DWR's multi-year program and pool and actually generate some relatively significant revenues out of it for the benefit of countywide taxpayers within, you know, the flood control district and those things that we do. Oceano has, in order to firm up your reliability of state water, you've sort of had the pleasure of that excess allocation. But the lower calculation that essentially says for the last 6 months of this year, your 750-acre-foot allocation times a 35% delivery factor, DWR is only delivering 35% of the allocations. Means that in July, and I have a misprint on deliverable there, but through July through December, that means that your allocation would only get you 131 acre-feet of water, or short 243 acre-feet of what you might otherwise want. At the state sale price of $253 an acre-foot, then that means that if you want to preserve or be able to purchase that water under the first right of refusal, it would be about $61,000. Now, whether or not you really need to purchase that much water or not is a separate decision. And so I'm wanting to make sure that we've been meeting with a lot of the other agencies. Oceano is the only one that doesn't have drought buffer, so therefore you don't have water in storage. And the idea is whether or not you might want to consider buying some of this water in order to firm up your supplies for both this year as well as next year. And since this is just public comment, all I can really do is address the issue to you. And certainly we're more than glad to follow up with your general manager and follow up with your staff and everything. But the point is that this has all evolved very quickly because of the Department of Water Resources and the governor's declaration. And you have a policy by the board on first right of refusal, and we wanted to bring it to your attention.
Thank you, Pavel. I'll probably come see you at your office and pick your brain on it if you don't mind.
And your lead is Dean. Is Dean the lead on this?
There's a number of us that are working on it because there's a lot of details that have to be scrubbed real quick. But feel free to, you know, contact me and then.
Okay. Careful what you ask for.
Yeah.
We'll talk tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Pavel. Is there any other public comment this evening? Mr. Edwards, good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I wanted to touch on a couple quick points here this evening during public comment. And the first is Mr. Clemens, the sanitation district plant operator, gave us a tour of the facility this afternoon that was quite enlightening. And Mr. President, as a member of the SAN board, you, I'm sure, have had the tour. And
I was there this morning.
Oh, is that right? It's quite instructive, and it's really good now. I think as the board, the Sanitation District Board discusses certain improvements and so forth, it'll be real helpful to know more precisely what they're referring to. There are still challenges for the SAN District, as you know, and keeping the rates down in the near term as well as the long term is certainly one of those. The second point I wanted to touch on is the trial court decision that was recently made on June 5th regarding the Los Robles Del Mar project. And as you may know, the Los Robles del Mar project was a proposed annexation for the city of Pismo Beach. And very interestingly, the trial court came down on the side of LAFCO. And what, in reading the opinion, what's most interesting to me is that you remember the seawater intrusion genie that got out of the bottle in 2009? It is replete in this court decision. How we can go in 4 short years from some prospects of a drought buffer under $100 an acre foot, so I'm not sure exactly what the differences are. Lastly, I'd like to touch on the state of the district. And you had 2 subcommittee meetings on May 31st, both a finance committee and a utilities committee. And it appears from those meetings that your district is facing significant financial challenges. Let's be candid. And the first comment I have is I think the district needs to refocus on your core services. That is water and sewage collection. And that's really something I think you need to take up. Under your former GM, he misled you about a couple things. One, he told you you had money, you don't. And he also misled you about who he was hiring to do his job. And he hired a number of people to do his job, and I think that's unfortunate.
Thank you.
In closing, I just suggest that you impose an immediate spending freeze on all items.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Tacker, good evening.
Good evening again. I am Julie Tacker, and again, I'd like to raise a question about procedure. It appears a lot of people have come to hear the revitalization presentation, and I don't know if they need to speak now, as been the practice for your district, or if you're going to open up another opportunity for them to speak after the presentation. I'm sure there's questions and that there'd be interest, so I would encourage you to do so, and I would like to participate at that time. What I'd like to be able to speak about things that are not on your agenda. I have a few items that I'll touch on, but because your agenda is so packed, I'm going to have to spend my time addressing items actually on the agenda in a practice in most agencies where this is public comment for items not on the agenda. Last meeting, I brought up the settlement with Mr. Geeslin. And as much as we look forward to our future, we do have to recognize our past. And the explanation that there has been no statement from the district setting the record straight for the public in where monies came from and where they went back to, I think the rumors are worse. Rumors will be more disparaging to Mr. Geeslin's reputation than if you actually tell the truth and tell the public in a statement, very simply, what happened and whatever the dispute was. On your agenda, in your warrants, there's collateral damage still coming down from Mr. Geeslin. You are paying bills that are reflective of that era gone by. I agree with Mr. Edwards. A spending freeze is in order. Hiring freeze is in order. Certainly, this opportunity for drought buffer is something to consider, but you really don't have the money to pursue it. So as much as I want you to have it, I don't know how you will accomplish it. I will speak briefly to the minutes of May 22nd. There is a citation saying that report out of closed session, Mr. Martin was going to respond to Ms. Lynn Hill. The legal bills that he's provided tonight reflect that he wrote a draft, but Ms. Hill has not received a response from their organization. That order comes from this board, and I don't want the public to be under any misconception that it is your board that has asked the farmers market to move on.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment this evening? Good evening, sir. I'm sorry I don't know your name.
Yeah, President, directors, I'm sorry for not going through the proper channel to get up here. My associate arrived a little late, so I didn't get to submit it to the general manager my desire to talk to you guys. Anyway, my name is Timothy Chang. I'm the new CEO of Oceana Casino, just right down the street. And I just want to introduce myself to you guys that who I am, and I will love. I will go through a better channel next time to talk to everybody. And hi, everyone. So I'm new here in town. I came from New York City. I just want to give you a little background. And I just came here. I've been coming here for a long time, and I love this area. I live in San Luis Obispo with my family. And I just want to open up to everybody that I know there's a bad stigma to gambling and the casino playing, but I want to assure everybody that I will follow everything, all the rules with the DOJ down to the T. And we're open to any kind of fundraiser, anybody's interested, doing anything like that. I'm not here to advertise, but I just want to introduce myself. And I would love to meet every one of you. And at any time, I'm there almost all the time. You want to come by with any ideas, any suggestions about anything. We just launched a reward program, and that my goal is to bring the entire Oceano community up, not just the casino. So Efren's Daily Shop already signed up, Rock and Roll Diner already signed up, the Melodrama is a partner of ours. In essence, I want, when we're successful, I want everybody around us to be successful. So that's really my goal, and I just want to let everybody know that. And I think that's pretty much it. I know you guys have a busy schedule, so I'm there all the time. Come by and speak to me at any time. You don't need to set an appointment or anything like that. And you guys are the important people. I'm just a business person, so... All right. Thank you very much, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Changan. You are an important person.
You are important. Business is important. I hope you have the time to stay around for the revitalization presentation. I hope you have the time to stay around for the revitalization.
Oh, absolutely. I'm project. Here for the rest of the night.
Good.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Blackburn, good evening.
Good evening, Jennifer Blackburn, Oceano. Rina Spoonie here. We're here just representing the farmers market. We wanted to welcome everybody here today. We've got a great group. And just let you know that we are moving forward as a committee, and we'd love to invite anybody who's interested in being a part of this very fun community project to our next meeting, which is next Thursday, June 20th at 6:30 here in this room. So we'd love to see you there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next Thursday at 6:30 in this room. Okay.
Jennifer, I have a question. Do you have a website or something set up for donations?
We do not as of yet.
Okay.
We are working on that. That's part of what we're trying to decide at this next meeting is which direction we are going. And in terms of finances, and so we will have that information soon, but we do have a Facebook page. It's Oceano Community Farmers Market, if anybody's interested in getting more information. And we have the agendas posted up there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. Good evening, April.
Good evening, Board. My name is April.
We have to start the whole process over. So we don't know what we can do yet because I spoke to the county guy and he's not in this week. So until we know that answer, we request just don't do anything yet. So that's all that's about. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McLaughlin. Is there any other public comment this evening? All right. Seeing nobody standing up, we'll move to an item I think we're all very excited about, been waiting for a long time. It's the special presentation, Lisa Weiss Consulting, and Josh Meyer, Local Government Commission, presenting on the Oceano Revitalization Plan Public Review Draft. And so...
Need to give them lights.
I think we'll have to we'll get the lights.
Get the lights.
That would be great. Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board. It's good to be back in Oceano. I want to make sure I know how to use this. It looks pretty complicated, but I'll give it a try. I'm pretty tech savvy. Anyways, I'm Josh Meyer with the Local Government Commission. We're a nonprofit based in Sacramento, and we teamed up with the county to write a proposal to Caltrans about 2 years ago, and Caltrans provided a planning grant that paid for an effort to come here, spend some time with the community last summer and the spring and summer, and develop this plan. So I'm here to talk about that. And what I wanted to point out is that through this grant, as a nonprofit, we were able to assemble a really good consulting team, and they're listed down below. We have the Lisa Weiss and Associates, who took the lead writing the plan, and she's going to be talking in a few minutes after I finish up with this introduction. We had an urban designer and a transportation engineer and planner, so a good multidisciplinary team to work on this. So this is our focus area here. Sorry, it's a little bit out of focus, the focus area. But the emphasis in the Caltrans grant was really to look at what the downtown is and look at the Highway 1 corridor, Front Street, and Cienega. And I just wanted to quickly review sort of the schedule, how we got to producing this plan. So in the summer of 2012, we were here in May, June, and July doing a number of meetings, doing a lot of data collection, and then we had some events, which I'll go through, and many of you have participated in it as a review. And then in the fall and winter, we took all of that input, turned it into a plan, and a draft plan that had to go through some review by the county and by Caltrans. And now we're here, spring and summer. We have a public review draft. It's available online, and we're here at this community meeting. So, pardon me, went a little quickly. So, the very first part of our study process is really listening. And so, when we were here in May and June, we met with an advisory group, and then we did a number of focus meetings, small group meetings with stakeholders. At that point, we're just in listening mode, hearing about what's working in the community, what's not, what are the most important issues to address. We met with agency staff. We got a chance to meet with the supervisor staff, board members, OAC members, members of the community. And then we had our opening community workshop on June 12th. Many encourage you to look at the document, and you can find this information. And then after that, we did an exercise that we like to do where we had people write a value down on sticky notes. And they wrote a value. We had four sticky notes. They wrote a value on each one and then asked them to arrange like values. So people on their own think of a value that's important. Then they put it up there and they find out what it is. They get a sense of what they might share. And so those are kind of the top values that came up, the small town character of the community, the diversity of the community, and some of the other items there. And those are sort of the things that got the most, those are the kind of words that we saw most consistently. After that, we had people work at design tables. They broke into small groups and wrote down their ideas, marked up the maps, and get a little bit out of focus, but this is also in the plan, but just to capture some of the highlights, people looked at changes to the streets. You can see down below the idea of maybe closing 17th Street or doing something a little different than 17th Street to create a little bit more space to add to the triangle there, to get a full plaza going was an idea that was considered. A lot of people talked about an open-air market or a place for the farmer's market. There were ideas about adding streetlights, where to put crosswalks, maintaining slower speeds, connecting to the beach. And certainly paying attention to getting sidewalks in areas that are important, and also dealing with trucks was an obvious thing that came up again and again. How to deal with truck traffic. It's important to the economy here, but at the same time, there does create some conflicts in where you might otherwise have your downtown be fully functioning, fully operating. And then people had some big ideas, like the idea of maybe an aquarium or a marine reserve or marine science center. Maybe something like that could happen out near the airport someday. But then some shorter-term type things like bicycle lanes, for example, and we'll get to that when we go over to Lisa, and Lisa's going to be talking about some of the design proposals in the plan. At the bottom, I kind of like the idea of renaming the community Oceano Beach. That's something you guys can think about. And something that also is all would be very helpful for me as a visitor to this community is if we could get one name for the road, because it's Front Street, Cienega, SR1, Cabrillo Highway. So anyways, it's very difficult when you're trying to label things in a plan, I can't put all those all those labels on the street map. So we did spend a lot of time talking to local business owners by phone, and also we had Spanish-speaking members of the team able to go and do surveys while we were here, get a chance to go and talk to businesses. Are they expanding? Where do people come? If things slow down with the economy, do they have any plans to enlarge their business someday? What do they think some of the challenges are? And these are sort of some of the types of things that a lot of the business owners were saying would be important. And I should mention that we were over at the sheriff's substation. We actually moved our whole office there, so we were on site for many days here in the community. So after we got all of this input, we were over at the sheriff's substation drawing things and inviting people to come take a look at the sketches and ideas that we were coming up with so they could see them in progress and let us know if we were getting off target and if we were missing anything. So we did things like that and see how it's working, improving beach access, a whole variety of other issues as well. So we did, some people also brought up the importance, we dabbled a little bit in the plan with housing types, and you'll find that in the plan. What kind of higher density housing types might work in this community and mix well with a single family home neighborhoods and provide high quality places for people to live that are a little bit more affordable and make sense in a beach environment. So that was brought up here. So, but in the interest of time, I'll keep on moving forward, and I hope you will get a chance to look at some of this stuff when you look at the revitalization plan. So with that, I'm going to hand things over to Lisa, and Lisa's going to talk about the short, medium, and long-term strategies that are in the plan, and then we'll open up things for questions. So thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Josh. Good evening. It's good to be here again at this major milestone for the project. In addition to building off of all the community input we received about a year ago, we also looked at the history of the area. As everyone knows, Oceana has a very rich history in commerce, tourism, agriculture. We took all that into account, thinking about what was most important and some of the priorities for the plan. Some of these are Josh covered, but thinking about some of the key issues, we learned these in the walk audits and spending time here. Our office is based in San Luis Obispo, so pedestrian issues, crossing Highway 1, sidewalk connectivity and people getting around are things we took into account. Cyclists, it's hard to see here, but it's a big bike way. As we all know, there's a lot of cyclists coming through all year long, but especially in the summer months, and all different kinds of cyclists from, more professional cyclists to families getting around town. I think that's a dog, yeah. And then truck traffic related to, it is Highway 1, there is commerce and shipping and agriculture, so dealing with the truck traffic issues through the downtown was something we took into account also. So the plan is organized north to south for recommendations, thinking about some of the improvements that could take place over time. Our presentation has reorganized those a little bit to look at short, medium, and long-term improvements, short-term being 0 to 5 years, medium-term 5 to 10 years, and the long-term over 10. And we've organized those around that to follow the funding for SLOCOG. That's the way they set up their funding cycles, short, medium, and long. So we were thinking about the funding cycles and how this could happen. And we're just going to go through 10 or 15 potential improvements. There's lots of recommendations in the plan, but just hit on a couple of the highlights that feature some of the most important things we heard from the community and some of the major themes of the document. So thinking about ped and bike safety, improved aesthetics in the downtown area over time, and just generating more commercial activity. What we heard from the businesses is that they're doing pretty well, but they need a little bit more activity to kind of push them a little bit higher in terms of revenue generation. There's a lot of traffic going by, but people don't really stop all the time. So thinking about that, getting people out of their car, getting people coming downtown, and capturing a little bit more of that revenue. So some simple things that could happen, or fairly simple. Dave Flynn's here from the county. He can chime in here. But thinking of, and I don't know if you can see, but for the people in the audience, it's kind of light. This is sort of how we show the ball belts here in the diagrams. This next illustration focuses on 13 and Paso Robles, looking at this corner, which, again, this is a little bit light, but looking at this corner here, infill over time, this is the bulb outs increasing the, this would increase this parcel here, so there's more development potential, reduce these crossings here for pedestrians, and infill over time could look more like this, so facing the street, creating that more pedestrian-friendly environment, parking in the rear, wider sidewalk amenities, those kind of things could take place over time as those ball belts occurs and some of that street realignment could happen. And then the farmers market, we're really glad the committee's here for the farmers market. There's lots of ways to address this in the short, medium, and long term. And longer term ideas could be structures and open air markets. But we went through a lot of discussions with the community on that and thinking about different ways it could happen. This is actually an illustration of a structure, an open air market, and you'll see those illustrations in the plan. And then thinking about medium-term strategies, these would be things that could happen in 5 or 10 years down the road, which, you know, isn't that long. So thinking about the west side of Front Street and what could happen there with landscaping, fencing, sidewalks, and then along the whole way, street furniture and lighting. What we heard from the businesses and the community was better street furniture and lighting would make a big difference in terms of attracting people, slowing traffic, making it a little bit more pedestrian-friendly. So we have some of those recommendations in the plan also. So this is existing conditions here on the top, and then this is a more medium-term treatment over here where you can you get the bike lane in, a little bit, a sidewalk, and then fencing on this side. And this is within this is the existing right-of-way with these working with property owners on the west side for some of those landscaping and fencing improvements. And then longer term or medium term would be more street furniture and lighting, those kind of improvements through either grant funding, block grant money potentially, or a business improvement district downtown where the businesses join together on these kind of improvements. And then longer term, these are things that would be 10 years and plus, take a little bit more money, more planning, construction documents, things like road alignments, medians and roundabouts, or things that were in this category. So this is Beach and 17th. Josh mentioned this a couple of times. This is the area where there's a lot of pavement. This is a little triangle park. So thinking about ways to recapture this a little bit and make it more of a public amenity. So realigning the streets and extending the parcels and the curbs here to create bigger parcels. Slowing traffic here is one idea of a way to slow traffic and potentially create more plaza space, maybe on this side. And this is an example of that, how that could look over time if this was realigned. Beach could come around 17th and closing that off and have an outside plaza.
He now has to look past 90 degrees in order to make a move. And if there's a bicyclist coming the other direction while they're making that move, you can start to see the problems that can happen. It also makes for a very, very wide crossing, even wider than if you have very big curb radii, corner radii. That creates a problem for pedestrians and bicyclists. And finally, when you have a skewed intersection, as you can see, you generate a lot of unnecessary pavement that's not doing anything, and it creates parcels next to it that are not very viable. So if you can, we can try over time to get the streets to come at more of a 90-degree angle, it improves safety and it makes the properties nearby a little bit more viable for future development. So thanks.
Very good. Thanks for pointing that out. I think we just have a couple more slides and we can open up for questions too. And this would be longer private, public-private partnerships where we could extend. This is the existing condition, extend the right-of-way and potentially work with property owners here around wider sidewalks, landscaping, and other improvements on Front Street. Oh, sorry. So that was a short-term and this is a long-term. This goes from, it's hard to see, but a 50, I think it's 2-foot right-of-way up to like a 66 or 67-foot right-of-way to really get those public amenities in and cycling, bike lanes. And then moving down to Cienega and this intersection that's the big roundabout where I think traffic moves pretty fast, thinking about improvements in this area over time. Again, bulb outs. In certain places, reducing the width across the streets, medians in the middle of the street for planting trees or landscaping, potentially realigning front here so it comes up more to right angles, Josh was just saying. Examples of infill over time here, so you have more of a gateway, and you when you come into Oceano, you know you've entered the city or community. These are examples in the plan of some of the medians and how they could look along that area. And then sort of a bigger move here was a roundabout potentially. There's two roundabouts as alternatives in the plan to think about major gateways, assets, things that would really announce that you're in Oceano and slow down cars. And then finally, there's other recommendations like wayfinding. We are talking about gateway or monument signs on the north and south, parking strategies, both on-street and off-street parking, so that you know, you're not overwhelmed by cars, but you can drive here and find a place to park. Storefront and facade improvements, working with businesses to improve the frontages over time. There were a lot of businesses at the meetings that were had live-work and viable commercial businesses, so working with them, and potentially lighting or business improvement districts to kind of actually bring this about. And with that, we're open for questions.
Great. Thank you. Are there any board questions first? And then if, Lisa, are you, would you suggest we, if there's any public that has any questions for you, we can take those? Why don't we do those first? If there any, are there any public questions for the consultants? A lot of people here. Mr. Edwards, you've got big eyes. Or do you want to ask some questions of...
Circuitous. You have to basically hit the levee at some point to go on down. So beach access was second. Third question, in looking at the travel lanes, they're going to be reduced to create space for those bike paths and sidewalks and so forth. And I'm just wondering, they're looking a little narrow, and do they meet the Caltrans specs? One would think they would, but I'm just, do they meet their safety specs? Also, I was curious, some of the roads, and I'll refer to the Highway 1 at Beach Street and Railroad Alternative 2, it seems to go off to the kind of the southwest, but it doesn't really, it doesn't go, it just goes into some bushes, and I'm not sure where it does. Likewise, on Alternative 2, Highway 1 at Front Street, there's a roundabout, and then a road that goes off to the south-southwest, but it goes into an ag field. So I'm not sure what the intention is there. And then I'll just close by making a couple observations. And whatever happens with revitalization, it has to attract investment capital. People have to be interested in bringing money here and investing it in your infrastructure and in buildings. And unless that climate is achieved, I think we're going to miss the opportunity. And then just in closing, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the airport. And clearly the airport's not talked about in here. That wasn't the intent. But it's a huge piece of property in the middle of Oceano, and it's frustrating the specific plan along with many other things. And I think it's crucial to consider in the context of any revitalization. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Is there any other public questions or comments? Mr. Cordes, good evening.
Rio Cordes. I just had a couple questions. One, I was hoping to see a couple of pedestrian crosswalks crossing Highway 1 in that study zone, and namely somewhere near 22nd or Central Market, and then another one somewhere near the Melodrama, where you often see people crossing after they get out in the dark from the Melodrama and just crossing the road in black clothes, you know. And so that was a concern for me. I didn't really see that too much, and I was hoping to see that. So, all right.
Thank you, Rio. Is there any other questions or comment for the consultants? Seeing nobody else stand up, and I think that... the street lighting will be an issue down there. Obviously, we want to attract more businesses. And then if you look at page 12, the six priority issues, number one was stimulate and attract diverse businesses. And so Karen, I think, had some questions. Did you have some questions about the plans?
Well, I had a couple of comments. The first one I'll jump in about changing the name to Oceano Beach. The Oceano Advisory Committee has already studied that and determined that the community does not want to change its name. And I think maybe we shouldn't discuss that again. Wonderful, a lot of it is just dreaming until, like Mr. Edwards said, we get some finances. And I see, you know, curbs and gutters, if the private property owners want to do it, and that's one of the critical things Oceana needs, and they, I keep saying assessment districts, which I don't think our property owners can afford. I keep seeing parking districts, and I don't think our businesses can afford that right now. And so a lot of it is going to have to be very long range. And that makes me sad, but I'm realistic. The other thing I just wanted to notice is I don't know whether people have seen the big K-rails on the west side of Front Street along the railroad property, which is blocking, I think, any kind of parking or anything in that. They've kind of made a statement against use by the public on that property. And those are just some of my comments, but I appreciate the plan. It's very informative and very well done.
Vice President Lucy, is there any?
I just have one quick question. So if we have the Oceano Civic Plan, will this be an attachment, an addendum to the master plan, or will it be will it replace the master plan, the Pacific plan, or will it be an addendum to that plan? It's just a process question. Thank you.
I'll go down to Director Angelo.
I think we've seen the same similar process going on for probably at least 20 years that I know of, and we can never get funding for any of these things. I do know that years ago when they first decided that they wanted to do sidewalk curb and gutters, we had projects going here in town, and we got ready to do them, and they said, don't do them. We don't want you to put them in because you'll be the only one with one. So even now, that house still doesn't have sidewalk curb and gutter. But it's kind of a mixed bag when you try to get things done. Either they say, yeah, we want you to do this, or no, don't do it now, wait till later, and later never comes. I think our biggest issue should be our drainage and our infrastructure, that type of thing. This stuff looks great. I'm not pleased about a roundabout because I about got KO'd myself trying to get through one in Santa Maria, so I don't even go there anymore. The Triangle Park area, I think it would be good to close off a portion of the road there. You don't need three corners in one little tiny area there. A couple years back, I talked to county about doing construction on a piece of property there. And by the time I had to put up the $650 to even talk to a planner and went in and talked to them, they come back with a lot of restrictions, and it actually was cheaper to go buy something already built than to even try to do any building. So we didn't do it. And I think a lot of people are going to find that when they want to improve and develop, that the cost of the fees and the cost of what they require for your own water retention, that type of thing is not going to be feasible. People are going to not do it because they can't afford to. It's easier to go uptown and buy something existing. So I think that's going to be a problem, too.
Their approvals. And please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think when we initially started this, I questioned the funding. I know that the study was granted. And I believe I was told at that time, once the plan was completed, that there would be some facilitation to connect us with the funding to go forward. I'd like to know if that still stands, and if so, what is our next move, and where do we start with this project? Thank you.
I'm with Director Hurdle. I want to know how much is it going to cost, where's the money going to come from, and when do we start? I think those would be the three things, because these are great ideas. I am encouraged, and I would love to see our community look like that. Mm-hmm. So I'll turn it over back to you guys.
Good evening. Dave Flynn. I'm with the Public Works Department. And, I want to commend the consultants. I think they put together a nice document. But I hear a lot of the issues of the board members, and as well as other Oceana residents, would be how do we implement it? How do we get from this paper drawing to something in reality? And, you know, you're right. 10 years ago, I know, there was a specific plan done for Oceano that spoke largely along some of the similar issues, need for sidewalks, potential realignment for the 17th Street. And a lot of it becomes an issue of timing. How do you have a plan, and then when do you seek the funding to move ahead with the project? So we've done this in a number of communities now, like in San Miguel, Napomo, Cambria, to work on streetscape design, designs like this. And the first thing is to have a plan. So going through the process and having a plan that says this is what the community's priorities and reflects the community's wishes is the first step. When we get to implementation, the timing is good now to proceed with implementation. First, Caltrans has been involved in reviewing this plan and what is proposed, including the striping that was indicated by Mr. Edwards. And they have already set aside and programmed funding for the next 2 to 3 years for doing ADA improvements along Route 1. Mm-hmm. So they have about $1.5 million that they're going to program. Most of it's going to go into improving the railroad structure crossing and building a usable sidewalk through there. And then dropping down into town, improving the intersection ADA ramps. So this is where we can dovetail kind of this plan and collaborate with them to lay out, as was indicated, trying to get 90-degree intersections and shorter crosswalks. We can also be looking towards marking the crosswalks, as Mr. Cortez had indicated. Also, this fall, the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments will be programming discretionary monies that they have, and they're really the funding source to be able to move ahead with plans. So if there is an adopted streetscape plan, they would then fund it. We just need to kind of determine what are the priorities and the needs. And then also really the opportunity in working with your board on funding opportunity that we can also partner with the district to potentially increase the streetlights as well as just doing the hardscape improvements in town. I would say there's one connection that we're always trying to listen to with the community, at least with our department in Public Works, is, you know, the Front Street improvements, which is kind of the gist of this revitalization plan, versus the other needs of just the internal pedestrian circulation. We understand that Paso Robles is kind of an ongoing need for curb and gutter, and we try to seek other grant sources as well for at least providing a safe route to school on that route. Otherwise, it is pretty much, you know, property by property development for curb and gutter infill.
I think, Vice President Lucy had a question for you.
I just have a couple logistical questions. You had mentioned the 1.1 to do ADA compliance, and in my past life, I used to work for the Department on Disability for the City of Los Angeles, and there was a large class action suit regarding curb cuts. And you got to have curbs to cut. And hopefully you have a good engineer, because the city got sued and had to replace, I think, about 19,000 curb cuts, because you had to literally jump the cut to get onto the sidewalk if you had to use the cut. So all the cuts had to be redone, which was very, very costly. But the challenge here is that we don't have a curb to begin with. So if you're going to do ADA compliance, and I know that there is a timeline to bring the state of California up to ADA compliance, and I applaud Caltrans for now trying to, in the 11th hour, trying to get their part done, right? But we still have the challenge of not having a curb. You know, so if we don't have a drainage system, if you do, you know, sidewalks and gutters, I mean, realistically, where is the water going to run? You see what I'm saying is that it's all good intentions, and I'm 110% supportive, but like if you were to go cut the curb on my corner, it's laughable, because we don't have a sidewalk and we live on a corner.
Understood. And certainly, as you mentioned, you have to have a a functional pathway in these things. And to focus on, say, the east side of Front Street, there is sidewalk through most of it, but when we get to the intersections, it kind of melds into the pavement. And a lot of it, too, is, I mean, you have, like, pavement that's sticking up in and around the gutters, and so it's not functional as it stands today. To go in there and, say, Caltrans moving ahead with this project and working with them, you know, and implementing elements of this plan really requires redesigning and reconstructing the entire intersections to provide the things that you've indicated, you know, true flow lines, you know, proper sidewalks. And that's where, you know, we're trying to work with them on, you know, developing more of a bulb out so that there is much more of an area for landings and more area in the sidewalk for maneuvering and to slow traffic through town as well, since if we can narrow up the crossings for pedestrians and the roadway, then it makes it safer. And it's generally, from our experience where we've done this in other places, it becomes more of a community effort with the ADA work that Caltrans were doing. We just haven't reached that collaboration yet. So likely we would probably do our project, and then these adjustments and bulb outs would have to be put in fairly soon after, but it would be a separate contract.
Seems kind of a waste of money to do half and then do half.
I would not disagree. I would still look and try to pursue the opportunity, try to get them together. Just at this point, because the way Caltrans programs money and funds and such, it just is not as easy as we would like.
Thank
to get
you.
There.
So when do we hear from you next? What's the?
Well, I would imagine we would want to speak with your general manager probably in July or August to talk about potential applications with the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments for essentially implementing elements of this plan. And that's something that we can come back and do a more detailed aspect of just streetlights or what aspect that would be at a later date.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And at that time, too, could we, with the general manager, kind of prioritize what we'd like to see?
Certainly.
Like the crosswalks would be very good. Lighting would be good. Okay, great.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Definitely crosswalks.
The next item is the consent agenda. Oh, I'm sorry. Did Lisa and Josh, I'm sorry. Did I cut you off? Apologize.
Thank you. I won't take too much time. I know you have a lot to do. I wanted to be able to respond at least to a few of the issues that came up, so I took notes. I think overall a way to look at this is the strategy that we were thinking about is what are the short-term things that can be done, and we found that within the existing paved width, there is room for bike lanes. We did run this by Caltrans. Caltrans puts lots of disclaimers in there and says, well, you know, but they didn't say no. And we are reducing some of the lanes, the travel lanes, from 12 to 11 feet in some cases. But this is a 30-mile-an-hour roadway. So you really don't need 12-foot lanes. The research shows that. Caltrans knows that. So they might push back a little bit, but they do have policies that say it's okay under certain conditions to make the lanes a little bit narrower, and there will be enough space. So I think longer term, another short-term solution, again, is to try to finish the west side of the street some way, and that's where the fencing idea comes in. Maybe that's not what should happen. Maybe it's landscaping, but the idea is to create before there's sidewalks, because that's going to take a long time for that to happen, something that's a little bit lower cost, maybe working with a public-private partnership with the private property owners to get some kind of sense of that side of the roadway is completed, so there's a little bit of enclosure. And so a small split rail fence or something like that, that was the thought behind it. Longer term is the sidewalks on the west side, and that requires going into the public right away, and so that is something that will take some time to work out, takes extra space, and it is something to be thinking about. But those are, I just wanted to kind of give you, you know, they're sort of the treatments now. Bike lanes, things like that, are realistic. They don't take a lot of engineering. Do some of the other treatments, and then think about what can happen in the long run. So I hope that answers some of the questions. I would love to talk about roundabouts, but I think I want to let you guys get.
Is there still the idea of diverting the truck traffic around the
a little bit further south so you can get a better alignment with Beach? And long term, maybe even bring it further south and connect it with Front so that you have a true four-way intersection down where Front continues, at where Cienega transitions to Front. So those are the ideas behind that. So I hope that helps answer a little bit.
some of the questions that came up.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Does Lisa have anything she'd like to, Ms. Wise?
I know we're running low on time, but I just wanted to say regarding the specific plan that it is an adopted plan that will stay in place, and this is meant to implement that further. So in terms of, you know, working with your documents, that's how that was intended to work.
Thank you very much. I'd like to thank everybody for their hard work, and I hope that the momentum continues.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure working with you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Moving on to item 7A, there's the consent agenda review and approval of minutes. I think as to the regular meeting, we can all do that as a board, but we should probably separate these out in 1, 2, 3, because we were at different meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
We have a few minutes, because I think some people are going to want to leave.
Oh, okay. Why don't we take a 5-minute break? It's 7:45. We'll come back at 8:10. Thanks. Okay. Yeah. All right, we'll call this meeting back to order. It is 8:05, Oceano Community Services District. I just advise Director Hurdle, I think for purposes of time tonight, and there were some questions regarding the minutes and the procedure for approving the minutes from the consent agenda, let's put that on 2 weeks from now agenda, which our next regular meeting would be the 24th. Yep, I'll just put all of them on the next agenda.
Consent part of the special meeting.
So we'll move on to item number 8, which is reports. Item 8A is Sheriff South Station, Commander Jim Taylor, and you're not Mr. Taylor.
I am not Commander Taylor. Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board. My name is Sergeant Jay Wells. I'm currently assigned to the South Station next door. I'm one of two sergeants supervising flexibly between 23 and 25 deputies that respond. In the last 30 days' time, we've responded to or taken record of 865 incidents in the Oceano area itself. Everything that the Sheriff's Department does generates a number, and all of those numbers are tracked, so that's 865 numbers. Of those, we only actually accomplished about 101 reports, so 1 in 8 actually generates a report or an arrest. Just to summarize, the biggest problems for the South Station right now are thefts at number 1 with 21 reported thefts in that 30-day time period, 10 vandalisms, drug and alcohol-related offenses, number 14. So those are our top three. Domestic violence is still an issue. That comes in a close fourth at number 10, or I'm sorry, a close fourth at 8 investigations over the past month. And then miscellaneous crimes number. There'll be several other camps throughout the county for this summer session. And the one that will be covering South County will be August 5th through 8th at Mesa Middle School. And for information regarding that great program, you can contact our public affairs officer, public information officer, Tony Coppola, or our crime prevention office as well. And I have numbers for those if you'd like them. And I also brought a copy of the press release for you.
Yay. Sure. If you would give
a
copy of the press release to Jocelyn, we can attach it to the minutes and put one up in our window. That'd
be
great.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Very good. And then if anybody was really hearing all the excitement early this morning, we had an arrest in Oceano on McCarthy Street. A gentleman broke into a house and was ultimately charged with burglary and domestic violence. Interestingly enough, the suspect became the victim in that the person present in the home when he broke in stabbed him and he went to the hospital. He's going to be fine, but he'll be facing the justice system, so he was cleared from the hospital and was booked into the jail this afternoon. I'll be around for a few minutes if anybody has any direct questions or if there's anything I can answer for the board now.
No, and I think you forgot to mention the sentence on the Gabriel Salgado.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I read that. I read about that in the paper.
158
years, I believe, is what he was given. So that's a fantastic. It's really a triumph for us and for the community to get that kind of guy off the street. So I think that's great for this community.
Right. Needless violence. Thank you very much.
I have
a
question.
Absolutely.
The break-ins and burglary things, are those mostly cars, houses, or is it just a gamut of everything?
It's a variety of everything. When I talk about theft in general, it's going to be burglaries, vehicle thefts, thefts from stores and things like that, petty thefts. It's all kind of lumped into one reportable category. We have a really good balance of everything right now. There's not one thing that stands out. Our close neighbor to the south, Napomo, a couple of our deputies in a really great event this last week arrested a vandalism tagger, a spray painter.
Good.
They just happened upon him, and through their investigation, they've been able to identify many, many crimes that he's responsible for. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he's a juvenile, but hopefully we'll be able to get the juvenile court system to take care of that. So vandalism is a really big thing, too. We've had some incidents of vandalism over the past 2 weeks with smashed windows and things like that. They seem to be random in nature, and they're only grouped for maybe 1 or 2 days, and then they kind of dissipate. So, but theft is obviously the biggest thing, and now's our high season for theft. So that's about it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you.
Five Cities Fire Authority, we have Battalion Chief here.
Good evening, Honorable Directors, President Guerrero, Ricky Heat, Five Cities Fire. This past month, the Oceano Station ran 89 calls. 13 of those were to the Dunes area. We had 2 kitchen fires, which we were able to put out before it spread through the structure. We had a passenger vehicle fire, which was the engine block, a magnesium fire, which was put out, and that was out on the dunes. Also, we had a fire in the back of a pickup truck where this guy was transporting a barbecue with some hot briquettes and it fell over and caught some items in the back of his pickup truck on fire. Anyway,
I know that.
That's mobile, all we have.
Mobile barbecue.
Where they again, because of the time of year. Mm-hmm. I know I live in Grover Beach and it's starting to get a little busy out there also. Yeah. It's difficult to chase those down because by the time we arrive at scene, they're all scattered and
all in the house in bed asleep.
I'm sorry?
They're all in their houses in bed asleep.
Yes, ma'am. I know on 4th of July, I'll drive through the neighborhood and they'll actually signal each other. And they all just hide, and then as soon as I'm gone, they come back out. Mm-hmm. It's pretty challenging.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ricky.
Have a good evening.
Thank you.
All right. Item 8C is the OCSD operations. I don't know if there's an operational report. I did want to, I don't know if you want to give one, Gary, but I did, I've spoken with, I'll just make it short, I've spoken with all of the yard staff over the last few weeks, and they were really doing a gallant effort trying to hold it together. One of the issues that came up last weekend, talking to the yard guys, was that the sewer laterals and the mains that run down the alley, down Main Street, were all getting clogged up, and from grease, presumably from the restaurants. The 6-inch mains and the 12-inch mains were totally plugged. The ratepayers are going to see a bill on the next warrant packet from plumber. For $250 an hour, 6 to 8 hours, while they ran jetters down the mains over and over and over again, trying to clear the grease. And so this obviously is a safety hazard. This goes to the sanitation plant, can mess up things at the sanitation plant. It's taking up our staff's time for things that might be being mishandled. And so I had asked Casey Stewart to follow up on it, and to find out what is happening with the fats, oil, and grease program. The sanitation district has what's called a FOG, fats, oil, and grease program, where they're supposed to be the enforcement arm, which has EPA enforcement powers ultimately behind it to make sure that our local businesses are following the laws and not endangering public health. One of the things that they told me was there was another facility, thankfully not mine, but the sewer had backed up and raw sewage was coming up out of their floor drains into this facility. And so it's not fair for anybody. And so I've asked him to follow up on it. And so anyway, and if we can, I'm going to see if we can find out who the perpetrator was, see if we can move that bill to them and bill them for our staff's overtimes and the plumbers that we're hiring and any other maintenance work that's got to be done because of this, because I think it's wrong.
I think there's a possibility that you can do that. I did see the plumber's bill today, and I think it was around $1,700. The grease traps are supposed to be inspected, I think, tomorrow.
Okay.
So if you find one that's not functioning, then you may have found the culprit. So.
Or if they're just dumping it down the drain.
Well, as I understand it, you have a grease trap ordinance in effect in this area. So
we do.
I would expect that maybe it's a maintenance problem.
We'll find out.
And I will tell you that your crews were very happy to have had an electrical panel replaced today. And
so now we can.
Mr. President, there is a report in the agenda from Aaron.
Yes, and that's part of the packet. So.
Yeah.
Board of Directors and Outside Committees, number one, D1, Director Angelo.
Where do I start? I did not make it to RAC. I was out of town, couldn't get there fast enough to get there. And we did have our personnel committee meeting. A couple of, we talked to IGM Keith, and there was something else. Mary, help me out here. I'm having a brain fog. Personnel, and there was...
Lori and I were both going to be out of town, so we met with Courtney Cox, who's the chair of the RAC committee, Water Resource Advisory Committee, regarding the integrated master water plan that Lori is on the steering committee and I'm on the committee. So we did meet with her ahead of time to make sure that we had fully informed of the entire agenda. You want me to keep going?
I'm trying to remember. We've had so many meetings this last...
Yeah, we had several personnel issues, so we had a personnel committee. The personnel committee mainly set the goals for evaluating an IGM, 5 points of evaluation. We did all the interviews, and Mr. Keith was brought on as our interim general manager. The committee came up with those evaluations. The committee also discussed what the goals and the supporting documents that we'll need for the personnel committee, complete packets, boards, scopes of work, job descriptions, and current steps regarding each position. I do have some suggestions on the tiering system that we have in-house created. Mm-hmm. I think it needs to be looked at much closer. I have some areas of interest in it. And it seems to be created in-house. I pulled up the Federal Registry, just one department in the federal government to look at their tiering system. It wasn't even close to an analyst system, and that was Secretariat, administrative, policy analysts, level 3 policy analysts. So I thought that would be the closest to that tiering system. There was nothing consistent with that. I pulled up the state of California the same. There was nothing consistent with that. So then I figured out that it had been created in-house, and so I'd like to look at that much, much, much closer. So we found quite a few things like that. What we're having problems getting is the materials that the committee needs. The Finance Committee and the Water and Sewer Committee and the Personnel Committee, they're not special committees. They're standing committees. They're supposed to meet every month. Say, for example, Aaron has something over in Water and Sewer, Aaron should always be, or whoever's leading at the Water and Sewer Yard should always be at that meeting. And we haven't slept much, but we're here. And you have more to offer, Lori?
No.
We dealt with 2 personnel issues.
And I just want to make sure that as we're going through all these department things here that we got all the information that we need to understand what we're voting on, too. Because there's been some confusing, because we get one set of stuff, and then we get another set of stuff, and then we got to kind of look, see if they're both together, separate, or intertwined. So, I need to get one packet that needs everything in it at one time, because I got 3 different envelopes.
I think people are confused, too, on how things get onto the agenda of the Board of Directors. And things, you know, not anybody can put stuff on the agenda. There is a protocol. There is a way that you go about doing it. And if you have an issue and you want to write it up or attend a subcommittee, a standing committee, not a special committee, which these are mistitled, and then at that point, the chairs of that committee will determine whether it's worthy to go on to the board of directors, which the chairs are the directors. So there is a protocol on how things are to move through the system. So, for example, you know, I would never pull the annual audit because that didn't come out of my committee. You know, that's finance. So it would be inappropriate for me to go and pull a finance document without discussing it with the finance committee and having them, because they're really the lead on how things get on the agenda.
Mr. President, if I may.
Yes.
We were discussing that today, and I'm going to need some more clarification as to where these authorities come from. As near as I can tell, looking at the bylaws, the president, the board as a body, and the general manager decide what goes on the agenda.
That's correct.
So if
correct.
That's... If there's something different, then we need to find.
Yeah. Your read is correct, and that's my recollection
as well.
That's
the way it should be.
Yes.
It's called democracy.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Director Hurdle?
Yes, I attended a finance meeting on the 31st where we reviewed and discussed the pending approval of the 13-14 budget. Thank you, Jocelyn, very much for all the hard work that you put into that. And I also attended a special meeting on Monday where we met Mr. Keefe, and very informative meeting. And I did also attend Farmers Market meeting. And we are still in the process of trying to figure out what direction we're going to be going in. And as was stated, we will be meeting on the 20th and hopefully making a final determination at that meeting. And that's it for me.
Thank you. I was also at the Finance Committee meeting. I'll have a couple of comments on the budget tonight. But I attended last Wednesday, which was the South San Luis Obispo Sanitation District. Again, the plant is running better and better all the time. The changes that are being put in by the Sweeneys and Interim General Manager Karp are working. Remember, the permits for the effluents are at 40. The last meeting, I think I reported that they were the lowest number since before the year 2000 at a 12. And this time, but that's really the take home message is how do you do it without raising rates through the roof? And because you only have so many sources of revenue, you either have connection fees or you have sewer fees. And so that's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge here for the OCSD. When we get to our budget, you will see that the water fund has no money. And the sewer fund does have money, but largely that's because of the FEMA money that we got last year. That's why there's money in that particular account. So I'll move on to Vice President Lucy.
For what?
Any other comments on committee meetings that you went to? All right, Director White.
I think I pushed it up onto her.
I have to point out to everybody that when you see a proposed budget, it really means draft. That this is not the actual adopted budget. This year, the district will do everything in their power to use the budget as the roadmap on how we're going to move forward. So I have this stamp here, if you need it, to remind yourself that this is a draft. This is up for discussion. This is not an adopted budget. I don't think people are real clear on that, and they like to misrepresent things.
Director White?
I am finally back in the fold. I did not attend the Zone 3 Tech meeting last week, but Aaron, at my request, Aaron was able to attend and represent us. I was at the last Wednesday's special meeting. I was at Monday's special meeting, and I'm here tonight very happy.
Thank you, Director White. Moving on to item number 9 is public comment. Any item on the agenda? Is there any public comment again this evening? Ms. Tacker, good evening.
Three minutes. You got it? Ready? Okay, Julie Tacker. First, I'd like to speak to the farmers market. I think a reconciliation would be in order. Let the public see how much money's been spent, and then just a full vetting, a full agenda item about how we got where we are, and I think that would be prudent. Noticing on 10A, you have a public protest hearing for the liens of delinquent water. Congratulations. Oh, my gosh. To only have two is amazing. And you have some staff that made that happen that should be definitely patted on the back, or maybe that steak and lobster that used to be promised might be time. I am on record with my objections to the changes in the Public Records Act, and you will never get me to fill out that form, just so you know. The budget adjustment, that's more collateral damage, ladies and gentlemen. That what a lot of spending was going on really right under your nose from funds that were not tracked. And I think that that needs to be your goances. I'm sure your new general manager can help you through that process. But there's a lot to talk about there, and I simply can't do it right here, right now. With regard to the Watkins Consulting proposal, I'll just say that anyone who proposes a permanent part-time basis, that's forever. That's impossible. And I don't think your district has the money, and you're certainly not in the financial straits to be pursuing even the grants that might be coming in the future. My last item to address, item 10J, with regard to selling water to the Castillo del Mar, that's a permanent sale of water. You're going to have a special election. Special elections are $22,000 to $32,000. Does the developer pick that up, or is the district? Because, again, you don't have the money.
Thank you, Mr. Hacker. Is there any other public comment? Mr. Edwards?
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening again, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I had a couple items I wanted to visit with you on, and I'll kind of go in reverse order. The first one is item 10J, which you just heard about. It's a review and discussion pertaining to water service requests for a 22-lot residential project. The project proponents wrote you a letter on May 16, 2013, requesting water service. And I read that letter, and then I went and looked at the June 3rd, 2008 County of San Luis Obispo Department of Planning and Building staff report for the project that was approved at that time. The project does lie in the unincorporated area of the County of San Luis Obispo. As I mentioned, it's a 22-unit project. It has a current will serve letter from the Rural Water Company. And this property also lies adjacent to the city of Rio Grande and actually takes access from AG Streets. I don't support this will serve at this time and this under these conditions for a variety of reasons, and I'll enumerate those. First of all, I've discussed the annexation prospects with David Church, the executive director of LAFCO, and the idea that this project would be annexed into the Oceano Community Services District is remote at best. The two viable options that are available is for Arroyo Grande to annex the property and serve them themselves, or AG could annex them and then work a wheeling agreement with your district or some other provider of water, as you have some experience with. Some other problems, you've heard about the ballot measure, but there's a suggestion in the correspondence that because Rural Water Company is involved in the Santa Maria Valley Groundwater Basin litigation, that they can't deal with it. Well, as you know, you're also involved in that same litigation. So I think that's a concern. Also, I do empathize with the developers. It's a small project, and they've been through a lot. They've had to prepare an environmental impact report. Unfortunately, I don't think the EIR looked at the provision of water from your district as an option. So that's a detail. Mm-hmm. Just in closing, I don't think the timing's right for this consideration, and I think I would have you ask AG to take the lead on the matter and let them kind of deal with it. The other item is 10H. It's the Watkins proposal. And I just have a couple of quick remarks. You are indeed not ready. Your audits aren't ready. You need a permanent GM to come on board. Look.
One from the five cities. I wanted to just address briefly the potential public records request proposal that you guys have in front of you. As an anecdotal, it's very hard for me to go out to the public and speak like I do. I went to Pismo the other day to request a particular contract that they had with someone. And she was so emphatic about asking if she could email it to me so that I would incur no cost at all. And I said, I'll fill out a form, whatever I need to do. All I'm asking is to get this particular contract. And she said, just give me your email address. I'll send it to you. There's no reason you should have to pay extra for something we have available to you. She didn't tell me she had to scan it ahead of time. She didn't try to nickel and dime me. It just felt really refreshing to have the government be so helpful on something so simple. So I would hope that the OCSD would keep that spirit in mind when you make your decision.
Thank you, Ms. McLaughlin.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment this evening? All right, we'll close public comment. Move to the business items. Does anybody have any objection to moving item 10J up to underneath 10B, which was the Castillo del Mar project?
No.
Okay. Why don't we do that? We'll do our protest hearings, and then we'll...
Yeah, let's get the protest
hearings. Yeah.
We'll do the protest hearings and then move that up on the agenda. Item number 10A, 2013, public protest hearing for the imposition of liens for delinquent water charges. It's recommended the Oceano Board of Directors, one, conduct a required protest hearing, two, make a finding that there are no defensible protests, and three, order a certificate to be prepared and filed with the county recorder declaring the amount of charges and penalties due and the name and last known address of each affected property owner in violation as shown in attachment one. And it is correct. There are only two people. The total amount here, if you add them both together, $806.36. And so we do commend specifically Carol Ann for chasing on down. I think there were over 50 accounts that were delinquent. So if there's any board discussion.
Carol Ann for doing a good quality job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's been on there dogging it.
What's that?
She's been on there dogging it, boy.
Yeah. All right. Then if there's no more board discussion, is there a motion?
I move that we accept the imposition of liens for delinquent water charges to the two addresses named by staff.
I'll second.
Do you want me to finish it, or do you want me to keep going? Or? I bet
you. Yeah. Second. Actually, I'm having a problem. I'm sorry. The resolution number, is it correctly numbered?
Oh, I don't have the resolution number for me. What is it?
It's in here somewhere.
Oh, we did it on April 2013-2. Okay, so today's just the protest hearing. Okay, I apologize. All right, so I have a motion and a second, and we'll do a roll call vote on this. Jocelyn, and your microphone's off.
Director White?
Yes.
Yes.
I did. I'm sorry, I didn't speak loud enough, I guess.
Director
White again?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Some of them are duplicate names.
What's the resolution number?
The resolution number on this one was, we already had the hearing, was...
Can't find anything.
Oh, here it's listed as the same one, 2013-2. Okay.
It should be 20-13-3.
I think we're going to need to go back in.
One's for water, one's for garbage, so it would be three.
We'll have to go back and review the record and see what it was. I think we've got an error here.
Can you know that we held the public hearing?
The staff report says on April 10th, 2013, resolution 2013-2, a resolution of the Board of Directors, the Oceana Community Services District directing staff to place a lien on properties passed. If you look at our staff report for the protest hearing for the imposition of liens on delinquent water charges, it lists the same resolution number.
Oh,
I see. This is where it would be nice to have Carol Ann. Yeah. So my thinking is we can have the protest hearing.
Yeah.
And there's nobody here.
It's non-substantive, the number of the resolution. The resolution number will be next to the
order. Your microphone's not on.
Sorry.
It's still not on.
Push the red button.
Oh, this. Sorry.
There you go.
There we go.
Why don't you start that statement over about how it's...
The resolution number is not the substantive portion of the resolution. We scheduled the protest hearing. We still can have it. The resolution number can be amended later by Carol Ann once we find out what it is. I'm not sure what it is. That would be...
I'm not sure either, but we'll conduct the protest hearing. And I think we'll find that there are no defensible protests and order a certificate to prepare. Is there a motion? Regarding. Is there anybody here to protest? All right. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Is there a second?
A second.
All right. Jocelyn, will you do a roll call vote, please?
Director White?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
No.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
All right. Motion carries 4-1. Director Hurdle dissenting. We'll move on to item number 10J, review and discussion pertaining to water service request for Castillo Del Mar 22-lot residential subdivision. I think in the packet you will see the letter that was received. Mary, you want to give some background on this, or you want me to?
Well, I'm trying to follow you.
We moved to 10J. This is the Castillo Del Mar.
Okay, so we moved 10J up to 10C?
We just moved it up, yes.
Okay.
10C, yes.
Okay. Matt and I attended a meeting with the city of Arroyo Grande, Steve Adams, the developers for the 22 project. What's the name of it again?
Castillo del Mar
residential subdivision. It's right over by the high school, and this project has been in the works for 23 years. And I had read the city of Arroyo Grande they're very strapped on their water, and so they were having troubles identifying 7 acre feet. Of water, and I think that's where Oceano came in. But what that does is it's out of the sphere of influence of Oceano. If it was in our sphere, then it would just be a straight will serve letter and to go to the Oceano Advisory Committee for their blessing and then move on to this board or not move on to this board. But it's 7 acre feet of water, which is kind of like a drop to us. And so we went over and heard and listened to what they had to say. And I'm not very sympathetic to anybody, but I was sympathetic to these people. 23 years they have been trying to build these 22 houses. 22 houses, come on, you know. So, but the politics of it all has really muddied and murkied the water. And so now they're down to the line, you know, their loans are on the line, you know, they're either do it or don't do it, you know, at that point they've invested probably, I can't even speak for how much they've probably invested in it. So they brought us in thinking that maybe we could work with LAFCO, work with the city of Arroyo Grande. Four options were brought. One was to expand the sphere of influence from Oceano, which would create an island within our jurisdictions, which LAFCO and Oceano, none of us want to do that, where you create an island in the middle of somebody else's territory. We don't want to do that. It's right on the line. And then would, you know, Oceano has had a deal with Arroyo Grande for many years on an additional 100 acre feet. After this year, that will expire, that contract. And so we talked about maybe selling Arroyo Grande 7 acre feet. Would it have to go before the voters, you know? And the real issue is why that initiative was put on the ballot to begin with is because somebody tried to backdoor Oceano. They tried to sell hundreds and hundreds of acre feet of water, dirt cheap, and they try to sell the rights to that water for a project of 450 units that is miles and miles away from here. When I drove over to the meeting, I clocked it, and it was 1.4 miles outside the Oceano area. But it runs right along the border of the city of Arroyo Grande, so technically it's rural AG. And I didn't see any problem with 7 acre feet because of this small, small amount of water that is. I mean, it really is a very small amount of water compared to what we're not using each year. And we don't have a banking option on what we don't use either, which is very problematic. So I don't know what the final conclusion is, but I'm very sympathetic to what they've had to go through and tying of the hands to get 22. I mean, they didn't even put lawns in these houses because they wanted to conserve the water. So when I left the meeting, they were their pipes, which we repeatedly do constantly all the time. You know, so I think that Arroyo Grande was going to squeeze 5.5 acre feet somewhere. I don't know. It just seemed bizarre that you would have to go through that.
Mary and I were both at that meeting, and David Church was there from LAFCO because we did talk about expanding Oceano's sphere of influence. They are not in favor of that, of creating the island, like Mary said. I feel really bad for these developers as well. 23 years in the making, what's holding them up is a couple grand a month worth of water. And that's really unfortunate. That's really unfortunate. And so if we can help them out, I would like to encourage our board to do so. I was at the meeting about 10 minutes longer than Mary was, maybe 5 minutes longer. And in the discussions with Steve Adams, if you recall, Steve Adams, who's the city manager of Arroyo Grande, said, you know, our contract with you, it was a 5-year contract. They were buying 100 acre feet a year from us for those 5 years. It's $157,000 that is no longer going to be on our books next year that we're making. And if you look at our finances, which we'll get to a little later, they're depleting rapidly. The city of Arroyo Grande is probably going to go out looking for other sources of water because they do not consider us to be a stable source if we're only going to give them a 5-year contract.
Matt, you cannot hear anything.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
The city is going, if we're only going to give them a 5-year contract, they're going to go out looking for other sources, and they may try to get state water. But I guess they had a proposition or a ballot initiative of their own a number of years ago that says they're not going to take it. Mm-hmm. So this is an expensive and kind of a risky proposition for them as well. But they said, you know, basically, if you guys will guarantee us the water, we will give them the wheel serve. And the water, what they would like us to guarantee is the 100 acre we've already been giving them. Not giving isn't the right word, but we've been providing them. If we would continue to provide 100 acre feet per year in perpetuity, basically, they would give them their wheel serve letters. Or, you know, they are also willing to consider the idea of what if we wheel water and dedicate, and I think it's actually about 7.6 acre feet, let's just call it 10 in case somebody puts in a lawn or a greenhouse, but if we dedicate 10 acre feet a year of our leftover 900 that that Jim LaLoggia's project would have a will serve, they would get their will serves. And so the question rightly does come down is, do we have the authority to do it? Do we need to put it out to a vote of a people? If we put it out to a vote of the people, what does it cost? I was not able to get by. I was going to try to go by Judy Rodewald's office. If it is $20,000 or $25,000, you know, I don't know what it cost. I don't think it'd be that much. I think we could do a mail-in or a special election or something. The problem for this particular project is we can't wait till next November of 2014. Their EIRs, everything's running out. They've done 3 EIR reports. The city is extracting a $1.2 million road out of them and, you know, a bunch of other things that's going on, which is, I think...
The issue was 7 to 10 acre feet, you know, that was really not the issue. The issue was picking Oceano apart and selling it.
Right.
You know, so, but I would like to hear from people and see how they feel about it. But I kind of feel like we really need to pay attention to the ballot measure and clear it up and clean it up. And if it has to go back out, then so be it. But Oceano, it's sad that we have such great revenue underneath our feet that's environmentally, would not hurt anything. And we're somewhat restricted outside the sphere of influence to work with other developers, because as many people know, as we're somewhat landlocked unless the county starts looking at how restricted they have us. Mm-hmm. I actually think that's intentional, but
and what we're not talking about doing here is selling a certain amount. We're not saying 100 acre feet or even 7 acre feet. We're agreeing to do is service the project.
Yeah, that's right. It would be like if they were a mile and a half down the road, it would be a non-issue. It really would be a non-issue. We would immediately provide those will serve letters and move forward. If they were a mile and a half down the road. But what the community will benefit from is the road that will take that walk that happens on Valley Road in front of the highway, and that developer has agreed to work on that road project. So it will that walk that happens every day when the kids go to school and they get out, Mm-hmm. So there's a benefit to the entire area.
Chase, is it possible to have Gary go? You were going to say something? Go ahead, Gary.
You guys have got me very confused.
Sure.
Maybe I should just keep my mouth shut. But I'm familiar with LAFCO in Santa Barbara County. Mm-hmm. I know the Knox Cortese rules. I cannot imagine LAFCO allowing this district to provide water outside of their jurisdiction without a promise from this board that they will annex that property.
Well, we do have two islands.
When were they
service
formed?
Under an emergency agreement, say you have a well that goes bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Under an emergency agreement, you can do that. We've done it on Halcyon. The two mobile homes, the well went toxic. I don't know what toxic.
How old are those islands? How long? They weren't annexed,
the,
I take
One
it.
Was about 10 years ago.
Oh, really?
The other was about 5.
No.
It has been 10
no,
years.
The,
10 years ago?
The one that was done... Canyon Crest was done 15 years ago.
Probably, at least.
I thought it was 02 or
03. No, and that was kind of a stretch, and that thing is way out there. But you're right. LAFCO does not want to create islands, And then the other one on Halcyon was done. It's been since my term, so it's been within the last 5 years. But those wells went bad, so we had to move quickly, and they were right on the border.
And they were health and sanitation and emergency issues?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The other one was, the first one was...
Of water, and it was water rights, and none of the things that we were blocking applies to what we're doing now and may have to do in the future. We have a great deal of fees, a lot of our money goes to paying for state water.
Mm-hmm.
We bring in revenues, I think $1.2 million, approximately $800,000 of that. $800,000 of that, 67% of our revenue for water is going for paying for that water. And we have a very serious decision to make in the very near future about water and revenue and rate hikes. So I would like to see that whole initiative sorted out. Many of the people who signed that petition to go to the county are no longer residents here. One is actually deceased. I know what my reason for doing it was. And that was what was explained to many of the people who signed the petition. We just didn't want that water going or water rights being sold without permission of the directors here. Excuse me, without permission of the residents of the community. But I don't think, in light of things that where they are now, that that would stand. But we need to get clarity, and I'd like to get it as soon as possible because it's really taken too long to get this done, as far as I'm concerned, because we've had discussions about this in the past.
Thelma, can I make a recommendation here?
Sure.
Let's add to the next agenda. Let's add to the next agenda a closed session item to discuss. Take
measure.
The ballot measure, and whether or not we need to seek judicial clarification on it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Chase, I just think I just gave you a bunch of work.
I'm not sure I can make that a closed session item.
Yeah, I was going to question why that would be a closed session.
Well, because it's possible litigation.
So this would be under...
Microphone.
Yeah, you really got to...
This would be under anticipated litigation?
Yes.
Okay.
And the issue there is do we seek a mandate, clarification, you know, some sort of judicial determination on the validity of it? Because I think if I hear Thelma right and I hear Mary right, and if my thoughts are clear, if we can help out this small development and provide them the water service, I think we anticipate doing so. Because we're a small water company, we sell water.
If
we could service that.
We sell water. We're purveyors
right.
of water. Should be making money off this.
And so you and I can think through it, but.
You may recall that the initiative and the result of it was analyzed by a county council, some time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little perfunctory. We can dig into it a little bit more.
I'd have to go back and look at that.
Yeah, it isn't
analysis
as
again.
Though the action that's being proposed falls within the confines of what the ballot initiative was, and so.
Right. I think one of the options may be.
But I think once it's challenged, that the intent of it all should supersede language flaws. Because the intent was very clear. We were being robbed.
Mm-hmm.
And our president was leading that charge.
Not this one.
Not this one. You know.
Yeah.
And in fact, they resigned quickly after failing to be able to sell our water rights. And now there's other, covert movements to do other things to us. So it's been an ongoing attack.
It may be declaratory relief. I'm not... That's kind of my thought.
It might need to be something like that.
When I met with Mr. LaLogia, is it maybe declaratory relief? And I don't know how long that takes. It would take to get declaratory relief. I don't know who we would even serve.
There's no opposing party.
Talking to the mic.
There's no opposing party. There's no identifiable entity.
Correct.
So... an interesting puzzle, actually. I'll start. I'll look into it. I'll make a report to you guys. I'll get a detailed staff report to you. And
Molly
it.
Did a lot of writing on that already.
Yeah, analyze it as best I can.
Okay. And I'll make contact with you gentlemen. Is there anything that we're forgetting to add to this particular staff report, Jim?
Oh, is that? I didn't even see.
He's hiding behind the podium. Jim, if there's anything that I'm forgetting to add to the staff report. It's not public comment, so I'm asking for factual background.
Board members, thanks for the opportunity to speak. Just a few items. You've covered most of it, really. We have, in fact, been in process for over 23 years. We've gone through 3 environmental impact reports over that time. And the final agreements with the city to Arroyo Grande to improve the roads and buy agricultural land to do so at Valley actually came to a cost of about $1.6 million. It's about $100,000 per lot for the original approval. There was no way to move forward, especially with the market turndown. At this point, we have a little window. We are trying to get 22 lots, basically by reducing the size of the lot slightly, staying within the same boundaries. And getting that 22 lots would be able to defray some of the costs at this particular point, at $1.6 million. Moving forward with the county, we have to, of course, show that there's no additional impacts, and the only thing, of course, that would be standing in our way is water. And to address the gentleman that came up with rural water, yes, there was some agreement that they would like to provide us a will serve, but they really don't have the difference between what we were approved for and the 22 lots that we need. So we are coming to you to look for a method to service us for the additional, and again, it is slightly less than 8 acres of 8 acre feet per year. The difference with rural was only approximately an acre, but he could not come up with any way to satisfy the county. So at this particular point, we have, again, the request for a method to go forward. We are on a little bit of a short fuse.
With the Oceano Improvement Association, and they oversee development for the Oceano area, and the county forwards them on. So your application that went to the planning department, you should definitely get a copy of that over, get a hold of Linda Guyton, who's the chair of that right now. I think it is Linda.
Could be.
And Karen is on that committee. And get the endorsement of the Oceano Improvement Association. Well, we're trying to figure this out. But, you know, I just still don't understand why we can't issue 22 will serve letters. And if Arroyo Grande was very fine with wheeling through their pipes, that was a non-issue. You know, so I think it could. I think it's possible. I'm sorry they complicated it.
Well, we'd appreciate anything you can do.
And I'd like to encourage you in the future. There's plenty of lots in Oceano. If you would like to develop here, we'd welcome you here. You see the revitalization plan? Look at our front street. You guys can be part of that.
So. But if you have the OIA's endorsement already on, then that's one less step that you have to go through, and then you could just we can fly through it. And deal with the ramifications at a later date, maybe.
It's actually the Oceano Advisory Committee.
Oh, that's right.
They changed their name. And
thank you, Jim. And we'll see you on the 24th. We'll table this till then. We'll work on it between now and then, and hopefully we can help you out.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Moving on to item number 10C, discussion regarding a public records request procedure and potential approval of Resolution 2013-6. Mr. Martin, do you have anything? We've discussed this a couple of meetings previously.
Yeah, we did. We actually discussed it at length. I incorporated the changes that were suggested by the board, particularly pertaining to Director Hurdle's suggested changes regarding cost of mailing. I did look that up. We can do that. That has been included. Also, the form that I'm proposing, I have included another section where we have the number of pages that were issued. Briefly addressing what Ms. Tacker was talking about earlier, that we can't make her use the form. I think I discussed this last time. That is true. We can't make that a condition to asking for public records. There's nothing in the Act, though, that prevents us from asking politely for people to fill out this form. And the staff has asked that it, has said to me that it would be helpful. It's a good way for us to keep track of the number of public records requests that are coming in and how many pages a month we are using to allow us to refine the procedure if we need to. It allows us to have something to reference constantly, so instead of someone phoning in a request and we maybe get it wrong, we now have something we can rely on when we fulfill the requests. So the only issue that is remaining is the cost per page. And I think I suggested last time, Director White, you weren't here for the discussion last time, but I remember that you suggested that an amount of 20 cents would be appropriate.
Yes.
It would be appropriate.
Five for a dollar. I have a question. If they don't use this form, are they required to put it in writing in some way?
No.
You're accepting verbal requests?
They can make a verbal request, and we are obligated to fulfill it.
That doesn't seem very efficient.
No, it's not efficient.
How can you remember, unless
unless you have somebody at your desk, I mean somebody in the office, fill in this form for the people who make a verbal request.
Well, then there's nothing stopping that. We could, you know, the person who's taking the order can use that form, and they can use it for themselves. But we can't require someone from the public to use that form. We can't make it a mandate. The only issue is left over is the cost, and that's something that I can't decide. I mean, I think 20 cents is a good recommendation. I think there's a good argument to be made that this community is one of the more disadvantaged, although the people who make Public Records Act requests from us come from all over. I don't think there are many local Oceano folks who request public records.
Just Ms. Neal.
Doesn't mean that they can't.
Right.
But most of the people who do public records requests don't come from Oceano. I think 20 cents is a fair number. That's what I would suggest.
Mary?
I support it.
Do you have any thoughts on this that you haven't shared already?
No.
Okay. Lori?
No, that's fine. I don't have any big issue with it.
Director Hurdle?
You make a note when they come in what you're writing down and getting for it. At least you can document what you did.
Right.
I just think the more we have on the webpage, the less issues we have.
That's true, too.
Can I ask for clarification? Is it per sheet of paper or per copy? Because lately we've had a concerned non-citizen ask for the copy to be made double-sided because she only wanted to be charged for one copy. But at just wanting to make sure that we're consistent with this all the way around.
It could be per copy.
It is. It's per reproduction.
And
per duplication.
Okay.
Director Hurdle?
I think the same citizen also mentioned, and this is not addressed in the policy, by the way, so we'll see. We might have to cross this bridge when we come to it. I received an email, and I believe Director Guerrero also received the same email saying that, you know, what happens if I don't know. It seems like cutting off your nose to spite your face, but I mean, if you have someone that brings in their own coffee machine, wheels it in through the door, and says, I don't want to pay you the money, but I want to see the records, give them to me, and I'll make them on my own coffee machine.
And then you don't get the records back.
Well, we can cross that bridge next when we come to it. I have some reservations about letting a person from the public take control of our records and put them in their own machine, because what happens if they get destroyed or something happens to them? But anyway, at this point, the policy doesn't address that specific issue. That doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with the policy as it stands, but there are certain kind of unforeseeable events that could happen in the future that we may need to address.
Everywhere it says per page, not per copy. So if you have double-sided, that's one page.
Each page.
Each page. It says 20 cents per page. That's
Oh, you're
all
right, actually. It does say that.
That should be changed to per copy, then.
Per copy.
Is it 20?
Because the time and the ink and the only...
Well, what we've done in the copy business, so it's like...
This is page two.
Right.
So typically when you go to get a copy, you pay 20 cents a copy, 25 cents for double-sided. That's how you do it in the copy business.
Well, we could just state it as a finding that
the policy says and what's reflected in the policy, and that's my recommendation.
Still cheap. Sure.
I just go back to the more we have on the website, the less we have to deal with this.
Yeah, that's right.
When can you get someone on the website?
We're talking about 20 cents per page. What's the difference? How do I interpret the difference between 20 cents per duplication and 20 cents per page? I mean, my experience is when you pay for this sort of service, you pay by the page.
What if the page is double-sided?
It's page one, page two.
Well, it's a page. If it's two-sided, it's two pages.
Okay.
Right, that's what Director Hurdle and I think as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if you...
This is numbered right here. If you pick up a book, page one,
Page
is
two
one,
on the back.
And the back side of it is two. That's common sense.
Oh, here, let me play the devil's advocate. But you're only using one piece of paper.
Page.
You're only
Why don't we just give it to them free, because that's what they're looking for? In an age and time when people are complaining about what government gives away, we have an audience full of people who want the government to give something to them. I don't understand it. It's an oxymoron to me.
In some respects, it's doing that is like a gift of public funds.
Yeah,
because
what I was just going to say.
It's the customer base that's paying for the administrative staff time to do all this.
This is what it's about.
Right.
They don't want to pay.
Yes.
It's selective government giveaway.
And you know, there are levels of concern too. I mean, if someone comes in and they want a 400-page document, you're talking about quite a bit of time.
Certainly, I understand. Actually, Gary, you must know I'm being facetious.
Oh,
but
I
this
didn't.
Is what,
I'm sorry.
But this is what I'm seeing here. I mean, it's confusing to me. It's very confusing to me.
Well, we may have certain people that will come in and ask for that.
Yeah, I know.
Too,
I know.
So.
I am totally being facetious I interpret this.
And I don't feel that this is nickel and diming the public.
I don't either.
The reason that the code was written this way was so that public entities could try to recapture some of the cost it takes to fulfill these requests.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think it is. It's exactly what General Manager Keefe said, is that it's giving it away. And when we read the paper, it's seemingly all we ever read about nowadays is how people are, gosh, you give it away to them, you give it away to them, how terrible that is.
That's why I don't understand it.
It's true. It's very odd.
I'm confused.
I see no problem with this. I was able to reason it out. I've squared it with the code as best I can. This is, I think, a policy that financially protects the district to an extent that it is fair to both the people asking for the public records and for this body that is fulfilling those requests. So taking Director White's suggestion at 20.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All right. Jocelyn, if you give us a roll call vote, please.
Director White?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
I abstain.
Director Angelo?
Well, yes.
All right. Motion carries 5-0, with the one abstention being, of course, a yes vote. Resolution 2013-6. Moving on to item number 10D, Resolution 2013-07, a resolution of the Board of Community Services District Board of Directors amending the 2012-2013 fiscal year budget. Jocelyn.
Okay, so in your board packet, there was a staff report that included some attachments, and the attachments were the original budget. Actually, the original budget had like three pages, the title page, but I just included just the financial information. And then in order for us to make a budget adjustment by fund, I thought the best way to do it would be to provide what the ending budget should look like, which would be, if you take a look at page item 10D, number 4, it's three pages. It's called Proposed Adjusted Budget Summary, and it has all the different funds with the revenues and the expenditures. And then the ending, the total at the end, it says Proposed Adjusted Budget. So what I did was I took that ending column and brought that over to the adjustment page, which is actually item 10D number 3. And you will see the first column on there, the first numbered column on that item 10D is the original budget, which the numbers come from Tom's budget that was passed.
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, 10D 3, page 2, page 1.
Right, 10D 3, page 1, 2.
Okay.
and 3.
1, 2, and 3. Okay.
Yeah. So if you follow that, it starts with the revenues, and the first numbered column has the original budget that was provided by Tom, or that was approved. And then the proposed adjustment column, and then the ending adjusted budget.
Right. Basically, what you've done, Jocelyn, is you've broken and expanded out the budget that we had for 12-13, broke it out into the appropriate funds, and put in the real numbers that we've spent.
That's correct.
Okay.
So usually budgets would guide the district on how, or the staff on how we're going to spend the money for the year, but this is more like
the tail wagging
the money's dog. Already been spent,
right.
And it was approved through the warrant packets each board meeting. So this is just a recap of where it actually went by fund.
And we do require a resolution in order to enact this. The only thing I have to say about the resolution is that where we order it as follows, we need to identify what's attached as like an exhibit number or something. It just says the proposed budget adjustment entitled Oceana Community Service District Proposed Budget.
That the proposed budget adjustment entitled Oceana Community Services District Proposed Budget Adjustment, comma, attached as Exhibit A, comma, be adopted.
Yes. Okay. And with that, the only comment I'll make is that I had spent some time with Jocelyn going over these numbers and stuff. I know she's got a lot of hours put into coming up with these funds accounting. I'd applaud her for breaking out these funds and giving us a real looking budget and one that's functional. And
I can't tell what is pass through funds and what are stay at home funds. I know that the district doesn't have a budget of 4.4, but I just couldn't make out the distinction of what was a pass-through fund versus an actual fund.
Okay. If you look on, if you look on expense line 297, so if you look at item 10D, number 4.
297.
It's on the right.
It's on
so pass-through revenue, so $500,000 is pass-through.
That's correct.
So it was. That's how much was budgeted, but $520,000 was actually what was passed through. So the pass through went over budget.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's
not
received,
our money.
Right, but that's because we received more money than what was budgeted. So all the money that we received, we passed through
by $3,700.
Yeah.
That's correct. And a lot of times, money that we've actually, because these are actual monies received and actually monies paid. It's not on the accrual basis where sometimes we record revenues with sanitation billings. Mm-hmm. We record that as soon as we bill it. We haven't received it yet, and so we don't pay it to the sanitation district until it's actually paid. And since these are on a cash basis, we don't record the pass-through until it's been paid. And it's likewise with the, I think it's Canyon Crest and AG, like the Wheelings. Sometimes it has to do with timing. If we haven't been invoiced to pay it yet, then we haven't paid it. So it just depends. And this is what we've received and what we've paid this year. Okay. So if you look at the audit reports, those numbers are on the accrual basis, and those numbers would match up just fine, because it's what's been earned and what we should be paid on those numbers. But on a cash basis, there's always going to be a little bit of a timing difference.
Okay. Can you explain to me what 260 is? It says special department expenditures.
Yes. And also, I'll explain this one, but just so you guys are aware, mm-hmm. in the proposed budget, the detailed one, all these account numbers are also detailed. So if you have any questions as to which fund...
So there's a justification attached to it.
That's correct.
Correct.
But
okay, great.
If we can go over 260.
Uh-huh.
260 for the administration fund is the election expenses that were incurred this last fall. In the water fund, that is the Zone 3 low pay.
10D.
of 10D, number 4, page 3, you'll see line item 260, special department expense. The administration fund has $4,953, and those were the election expenses. The water fund has $423,321, and that is for Zone 3 Lopez payments. That includes, I believe, the debt payments that are part of that. And the total that we've spent this year, that's including these payments here in this warrant packet here for the Zone 3, total for special department expense is $428,274.
Why would that not be underwater?
That's a great question. That's how it was for the previous, like, I don't know how many budgets that I've looked at, but that's where they coded the Lopez Zone 3 expense.
Yeah, because Zone 3 is strictly state water, Lopez
right.
water.
I agree.
You know, so that.
And I'm just trying to be consistent from what was done in the past.
Yeah. Oh, which past, though? You know. So, yeah, I think it should be under the water fund.
No, it is under the water fund. Yeah. If you look, the column that says water fund, it's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the fifth column down. Or fifth mm-hmm. column across, there's a $423,000.
In this side, this one.
Mm-hmm. Right here, Mary.
Yeah, I see that. I'm just looking under expenditures, so.
I need you to break this apart so we can look at it.
Yeah.
I hate that. It drives me crazy. I do that at home, too. I gotta pull them apart and then go back. Aha. Got it.
So we should kind of look at this as our last quarter adjustment,
correct.
Budget adjustment for 12-13. Is that how we should perceive this?
Yes.
Okay. I guess it's because of change in leadership, but we have wavered so far off the path, it scares me that we spent, like, I have to say we because, you know, it was brought before us, you know, not very honestly, but it's not reflective of the organizational chart. It's not reflective of what we had as a budget. Mm-mm. And so, you know, it's just an observation that, you know, yeah, we're going to adjust it, but next year we're going to follow the annual budget.
Are there any other questions for Jocelyn? Director Hurdle?
No.
Angela?
No, I don't know what else to do with it. It's irritating as can be, but, you know.
Well, we live and learn. We live and learn. I don't mean to be flip about it, but, you know, the money's already spent. It's passed through. We did not have proper fund accounting.
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
All right. Motion carries 5-0. If you guys will type up those amendments, I'll come in and sign them tomorrow. Moving on to item number 10E, review and discuss proposed budget 2013-2014. Remember, the idea was is that we would receive this tonight,
yeah,
make brief that. Comments, hopefully brief, and we'll bring it back on the 24th for final approval.
Yes.
This.
You know, Matt, since we want to do it, start off doing it right,
uh-huh.
I'd actually like to back up a little bit and organizationally do it right.
Okay.
And call a special meeting for the annual budget where just the budget is discussed.
Okay. Yes, it's 9:20.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea too.
I don't have. You know, I'm not capable.
If we're
going to
have
this
right this time,
if we got to do it right, it has to be reflective of the goals. It has to be reflective of the organizational chart, and you can't do that in a regular full board meeting. I really think that the meeting has to be called, and the attention has to be paid to the document because, hell or high water, we are going to follow that budget this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
How about next Tuesday?
Wait, let me check.
Tuesday at what time?
Oh, Jocelyn, when are
I'm
you
leaving
back?
Out of town on Tuesday. I'll return the following Thursday.
Oh, no.
Okay, let's do it before then. Monday, I'll be coming.
I mean, a week Thursday. I mean, so I'll be gone for like 9 weeks.
Which basically leaves Friday.
Next Friday?
Okay. This Friday.
This Friday.
Okay, I'm
this
good with
Friday?
That.
We're short on time. We'd have to.
I'm good.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Are you good?
Sorry.
Chase is looking at me with furrowed brow.
Chase? Lori and I have a meeting with Pavel Ogren at 11 a.m. on Friday. Okay. So anytime after that.
I'm confused which Friday we're still talking about.
This Friday.
This Friday.
The 14th. 2 days from now. Why?
I'll be out of town.
Okay.
What?
Okay.
Well, it's a budget meeting.
I think
do you
we can
be
still
there?
Discuss the budget.
Sure.
I mean, Mr. Keefe will be there. I don't think you need to be there, Chase. Way to save your grand.
Oh,
will you be there?
Are you going to be there, Gary? Is this Friday back for you?
I have a grand jury summons. Santa Barbara, 1:30 on Friday.
Okay.
Can't you just money? Tell the judge, man, you got to wait. We're much more important.
I've tried that.
You tell the grand jury to wait, yeah.
Saturday. And you know they go to jail for that.
You'd be on an extended vacation. Yeah.
Saturday.
How about Saturday?
Are you sure, Gary, you're up for your game for coming
yeah.
on Saturday?
Are you,
oh, yeah. I mean, that's...
Are you okay with that?
I've always done budgets on the weekends.
Okay. What time Saturday?
Let's
well,
not take
know.
Up
you
the whole day.
Yeah. Yes, I'm available.
Are you sure?
How long
are you available on Saturday?
Okay. Are we at the point where we already have all the paperwork that
most
that,
of it.
Ms. Lucy is asking for?
Yeah.
We've got all that stuff, goals and objectives and organization. Yeah. I know you got the organization chart.
No.
Is that all done?
No. We don't have. One of the things we were talking about the last meeting, Gary, was a strategic planning session. I don't think we're going to get through that in time to approve a budget by the end of the month.
Right.
But it doesn't mean we are not going to do it hopefully very soon and we can't amend the budget.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we should have a very realistic, you know, not put a sham budget out there, but put something out there that's functional.
Right. So then based on, I know you were ready to do a lengthy presentation tonight.
And your support next item.
I'll bring donuts.
Can they just continue?
I'm going to say bring breakfast.
Can we do another
continuation
notice?
Of this meeting?
Special meeting.
Special meeting to discuss the budget. 9 o'clock Saturday morning.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you're right.
Oh,
moving on to item 10F, discussion regarding the draft letter of support for First Five of San Luis Obispo County and Children's Bill of Rights for San Luis Obispo County. This has been in the news a lot lately. I've been exchanging communications with Susan Hughes, the executive director of First Five, and they have a proposed letter for us to sign if we support this. And the question that I posed to her was, well, how does First Five affect Oceana? We're an economically disadvantaged community compared to the rest of the county. We have a lot of children here. We've got an elementary school. We've got a lot of children. And her reply to me was this. And she said, since 2004, First Five has been proud to support the First Five San Luis Obispo County Readiness Site at Oceano Elementary School. We know how important it is for young children to begin kindergarten healthy and ready to learn. With that goal in mind, First Five has funded the First Five Preschool and a school readiness site coordinator and a family advocate who both work with the community to make sure families receive the support they need through parent education classes, referrals to other agencies, etc. In 2011 and 2012, they supported over 145 families, assisting them with health-related issues, child development issues, and translation and literacy support, amongst others. They also provide a summer pre-K camp focused on facilitating a child's transition to kindergarten, i.e. familiarity with school, interaction with classmates, and building trust and comfort. The camp also offers educational sessions for parents. Last summer, 50 children attended the two-week camp held at Oceana Elementary School. And last but not least, they co-sponsor the bilingual Born Learning Trail that surrounds the Oceano Elementary School. And they say if you haven't had a chance to walk it, they encourage you to do it. So First Five is a program that supports health and safety and welfare in Oceano, affecting our citizens. And so
I move that we send them a letter of support and thanking them for their contributions to the community of Oceano.
Second.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. And Jocelyn, if you guys will print out that letter, I'll go ahead and we'll get it signed off and send it tomorrow. Pismo Beach, I think just today, sent off their letter of support as well. The next item is review and discuss Watkins Consulting proposal for grant writing on behalf of OCSD. I'll give you a little background. What happened here was mid-April, I think Jocelyn came to me and said, we have this, I could be mistaken on the history, we're getting invoices from Faith Watkins. We're not sure what she's working on. We don't know what's going on. And so we said, bring her in. And was it you and I? I think it was you and I. Wasn't it Thelma? Yeah, and Thelma happened to be in the office when I was going to meet with Faith Watkins, and we brought her in, and Thelma and I were very concerned about what this money was going out to do. And Ms. Watkins told us at that time that she had been directed to try to turn Oceana into a park, and that...
What?
Yes. That she had been directed to try to turn Oceana into a park, and she was supposed to be looking for monies for... And so this... That's a very short version of the discussion.
Yes.
Because we all agreed, and she's been talking to Aaron, and Aaron Hughes from the yard does enjoy working with her. He basically says to me that you know they're helping come up with project lists and ideas on where to seek funding and grant proposals. And I said, okay. Well, this still has to go in front of the board. It's set for a couple of weeks. There's this proposal basically that she become an employee at $20 an hour, not more than 40. Not more than 40 hours per month. And so anyway, I couldn't make this decision. I turn it over to the board. That's the staff report.
First of all, we didn't even have an RFP out for a grant writer. I don't remember this coming to any subcommittees. It just landing on our agenda, like as if we're the recycle bin.
Well, this is how
you know. And also too is that she called me and asked me if she could attend the Water and Sewer Committee. And I told her it's open to the public. Anybody can attend. And then my understanding is that she actually had the audacity to bill us for it. And that she has had the audacity to have us pay for her training classes. Now, the state of California and the federal government actually have a certification program for different types of consultants. My biggest fear is that somebody like this, who's not completely knowledgeable, will compete against the county in a grant. And that's usually not how grant writers work. What happens is our engineer says, look, these funds are available. We partner with the county, or the county says, move forward. We call the grant writer and say, we want you to apply for these dollars for this amount at this many hours. We direct it. We don't train somebody to mine the fields of the federal registry. No, I was actually quite offended by it all. I don't think that this experience has anything to contribute to Oceano.
I don't think we can afford it.
No, I don't either.
Pure and simple, it doesn't matter. You know, I'm not judging the lady, I'm judging the situation. And I've looked at our 13-14 budget. It's grim.
And we did go out to RFP for a grant writing, because I was the maker of that motion, and there was a resolution, and there was $10,000 put into it, and there was a consulting firm who actually had experience in special service districts, and there was a competitive bidding process. So this is totally out of left field. You know, I just think it's wreckage of the past.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve or disprove?
I move that we disapprove.
Second.
All right.
I also would like to add that note that this not be included in the warrant packet.
Well, we're not to that yet. The warrant packets are still coming up. That's K.
Okay. Let me pull that off there, too. Okay.
So we have a motion to decline.
Is because when you have items on a consent agenda, they're supposed to move with absolutely zero discussion. So the warrant packet is not going to go flying through without discussion. So following protocol is that other than you move to forward it, it can't be under consent. So that's why I moved it. Other people have reviewed the warrant packet, so I'll let them talk about it more. But that's why I pulled it, because it didn't qualify as a consent agenda item.
Are there any specific items on the warrant packet that you'd like to discuss?
Is there an invoice in here for the consultant?
Yes.
While Jocelyn's looking for that, does anybody have any other concerns from the warrant packet that they'd like to address?
This item for Gina Watkins.
Okay, Gina Watkins was the face painter. She's not related to Faith Watkins. She was the face painter at the Cinco de Mayo celebration that was hired. She had agreed to work for a lower rate than the other face painter.
Okay, but I thought we already gave them funds for this stuff.
She has not been paid.
She hasn't been paid, though. It comes out of that.
It comes out of that fund budget. Okay. That fund. But it does not come out. But it has not been paid yet.
We could have got face painters for free.
I know. That's what surprised me. You know, usually they do that for a fundraising thing.
There was two or three people that they talked to, and she was the least expensive.
Maybe it would have done it for free.
Well, next time we'll find
next time.
Use spray paint.
I could do that.
I might just want to clarify with Jocelyn on that face painter issue, which pot the money would be coming from.
Yeah.
Just for the record.
The face painter is going to be paid with the farmer's market funds.
My understanding, and please correct me if I'm not understanding, is that we had submitted $5,000 mm-hmm. to the farmer's market Cinco de Mayo.
Correct.
So whether it's insurance or whether it's paint or whether it's a pig, you know, it still comes from the same pool of $5,000.
Fund 7?
That's correct.
Okay. Making sense now.
So if farmer's market wants to do that, then?
It's a good idea.
And I move that we withhold the Faith Watkins Consulting payment until period.
These two pages, three pages are?
That's correct.
Okay.
I didn't want to add it into the other disbursement package because you guys already reviewed it, and I wanted it to be a completely separate packet so that you can see.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. I thought that's what it was, but I thought, I better ask just to make sure.
And the certification check was a $500 check, correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. So far we've got the motion is sort of floating motion is to approve the warrants except for the payment to Faith Watkins and the payment to the San Luis Obispo County Department for $500.
There it is.
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Wait.
Is there any more?
No, I'm fine.
Yes.
Okay.
We're just regurgitating.
So does that mean I'm not to just void the check and then not submit it on any other future warrant packets? So what do we tell her?
Well, I think what we'll do is we'll direct staff to communicate the board's concerns and bring it back as necessary. All right. So all in favor say
aye.
Mr. Keefe?
Communicate the board's concerns, in my mind, based on the actions that I'm hearing, is that we simply say that the board has denied your claim.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then it ends up in Chase's desk.
Yeah, that's the thing. We can stop.
Yeah. We can stop the payment right now and engage with Ms. Watkins. Mm-hmm. But Ms. Watkins has performed work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she was directed to perform work by... a representative of the district, namely the former general manager.
I'm sorry, but we do not pay for the training of consultants. Well, nobody in their right mind. Also, too, is that to attend a public meeting and then charge us to attend a public meeting is inappropriate. She was not directed to do that. She was not directed to attend our water and sewer committee and then turn around and bill us for it. That was not a directive. She was not directed to train herself and then bill us for it. Not only did we pay for the webinar, but then she turns around and bills us for her knowledge and education.
I understand. These are things that we can discuss with her. But she actually has performed a service, and we can negotiate with her.
Yeah.
But
and also, too,
to
is
deny
that
her, I mean, really, I would not advise the board to completely deny her.
We might have to go through it and right. see what we can pay her for.
Because she has been meeting with Aaron.
Correct.
She's been strategizing with Aaron Hughes at the yard.
Did you give her directive to do that? Did somebody give her directive to work with the water yard?
Mm-hmm. We should ask her. Why don't we can have staff find out where the direction mm-hmm. came from.
It didn't come from the water and sewer committee.
When Feldman,
when we discussed this with her, when she came, when we found out that she was doing parks and things.
We did have her meet with
Aaron.
That's
yes,
true.
We did. Yes. We had her go out to the water and talk to him about that because that's the direction she needed to be going as opposed to making Oceano a park.
And that was numbers, but she had put in more hours than that.
So just to kind of get a status check, where we are is staff is going to discuss with Faith Watkins. A, we'll let her know that the board has decided not to take her up on her proposal. So her services from this point forward will no longer be necessary. So now the only issue is what she's done in the past and the work that she's billed in the past.
Right.
And I have not seen her invoice, and I can work with Ms. Hodson with her on that to try to negotiate her bill down. My understanding is that there's actually some large charges with not tons of description. We can ask her to fill in more detail about what she did, but ultimately we can't. I mean, I do not advise just stiffing her. We have to give her something for her work.
Let me just say, as a certified consultant, there are certain things that you can bill for, and there are certain things you cannot bill for. You cannot bill for mining databases. You cannot take a percentage of an award. You have to be paid by the hour to work on a particular contract. Now, if you or the board has identified a funding source and pushed her in that direction, that's appropriate. But there are clear guidelines as to what you can bill for and what you cannot bill for as a consultant, a.k.a. grant writer. And one of them is a percentage of the award.
I agree completely with you. The issue that we're facing now is that the former general manager appointed her, told her to start working. There was no scope of services. So
have you seen a contract?
Precisely. That's the problem. I mean, if we had a contract with her, then there's a thing called quantum merit.
Right.
Value of services performed. Doesn't matter if you have something in writing. She performed a service, and she's going to be paid for it. We just need to figure out how much.
And he had the apparent authority to make these directions to her, and she was performing pursuant to that. Why I said when we found out.
The former general manager is an agent of this district.
I know. Yeah.
He issued a directive to her, and she is not in as high, as big, or as equal of a bargaining position. She's just going to start working. So I agree completely with everything Director Lucy is saying. But if we say we're not going to pay you at all because you weren't going forward with a contract, we are going to get, we'll draw a suit from that.
Yeah. We can't do that. Then let's go to town.
I should say we're going to lose that. Because
she doesn't have a contract with us. As one of the chairs of the Water and Sewer Committee, you know what? And Aaron sat in on the Water and Sewer Committee.
did nobody ever mentioned that there was a grant writer working with the Water and Sewer Department. So how could the chairs of the Water and Sewer Committee not even know that this person existed? Nor did the staff bring it to our attention. Nor was it brought up in the Personnel Committee either.
Well, yeah, you're answering your...
Moving on to item number 11, the Will Serve extension. Christy, we had previously approved this Will Serve. He needs an extension of time.
I so move.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? It carries 5-0. If you'll prepare that, I'll come and sign that tomorrow. Item number 13, board member comments. Hearing none. Just kidding. Director Angelo.
Oh, I could go on and on and on, but I'm not going to, so... train of thought, lost it. Train of thought. There was something I was going to ask, and I can't remember now.
Well, if you think of it while Director Hurdle is...
Please forgive my frustration. Very frustrated. Governing is very challenging. Trying to meet the needs of all the people, trying to understand where they're coming from. It's hard. And a lot of it I just find I don't understand. And just please forgive my frustration and my outbursts on the oxymoron and the, you know, selective government giveaway. It's just hard to figure out how to do. Well, it's just hard to figure out how to do what people want to do and meet the best needs of the district and be able to express with authenticity the importance that I place on trying to get this right. So please forgive me. Thank you.
The only thing I'll say is the received communications. It's been in the newspaper, but I had received the communication a week and a half ago from Jana Nichols about the Five Cities Homeless Coalition canceling the escrow not to put a homeless services facility to serve 1,000 people a month in downtown Oceano, which would have been right over the top of the redevelopment plan that we have just saw tonight. And so I appreciate their concern for the people, and I appreciate that it will not conflict with the proposed business district that will be downtown Oceano. And so I wish them luck in the future, and thank them for sending that to us. I also echo Director Hurdle's comments. It can be difficult sometimes to get things done and to do the right things in the right way. And sometimes...
It's like beating your head against the wall.
What's that, Director Angela?
It's like beating your head against the wall.
Well, sometimes it feels like if you give somebody a donut, all they see is the hole. And so it's, you know, you can only do what we can only do what we can do. And I think that most people appreciate that we're basically volunteering our service. You know, there's a small stipend that's involved, but I think we're volunteering our service in a lot of hours. And so I hope the community appreciates
letters. There is a letter from Daniel Heimel of WSC that appears to me that needs to be put back on the agenda for some answers. They gave those reports
yes
last month. And I think they're slightly confused about what we're proposing, and I don't know whether we can afford to go forward, whether they're in the budget, we can afford to go forward with these people for the next year, and I think they deserve an answer.
Why don't we direct staff to look at those, and if that needs to be put back on the agenda?
Well, I think it does by what the questions are asking.
Sure. We'll have Mr. Keefe bring that back to the board if there's still questions.
And that was the contract with
the people who facilitated carrying the GEI work over for the Northern Cities Management Group.
Yeah.
The $50,000 that we weren't real clear. It was actually just to beef up the staff that they had. So as a director who read the entire proposal and understand their clearly their scope of work, I'm not going to support that contract.
Well, I certainly have questions.
Okay.
Missed one.
Future agenda items, I think we've covered all of them. Does anybody have anything else we'd want to add?
Yes.
Oops, sorry.
Go ahead.
The water.
The water, what about
the water? Water. Buffer, drought buffer water.
Drought buffer water.
I talked to Pavel Ogren, who is the director of Public Works, as he left. Lori Angelo is the rep on Zone 3. I'm the alternate, and we'll be meeting with him Friday at 11 a.m. Also, too, is that, man, I'm craving pancakes.
Sunday, you gotta wait.
The depot,
Sunday.
9 o'clock. All you can eat: pancakes, scrambled eggs, and sausage. $5. Coffee, juice. Great entertainment.
Awesome.
You know, and the Do Night exhibit is still up. So,
and don't forget,
understand your roots.
Pismo Beach Car Show this weekend. I'll be working the beer garden.
All right. Free beers for people from Oceano. Did I hear that?
No, you did not hear.
I did hear that. If they have a 93445 zip,
it'll be generous pour. Yeah. Generous pour.
Generous pour.
You'll never see a 12-ounce cup hold quite so much as my generous pour. Moving on, item number 17. Is there any public comment this evening? All right.
Hey,
here I have a comment. I do want to praise this board for the way they handled this agenda. And I don't know if you get a whole lot of feedback from your constituents, but it's been a real pleasure and privilege for me to sit here all these weeks and months watching you work. I know the kind of effort that you guys put in, and I want to say that I'm impressed by the work that you do.
Oh,
and I think you guys are moving in a good direction. You did a really smart thing by hiring a very qualified interim general manager. And you've got good people working for you. And
yeah,
I see good things that are in the future for you. So I know it's tough, but I'm sure proud of you, and I'm proud to work for you.
Thanks, Chase.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dad.
And I want to say,
we like you too.
Mr.
All
Keith,
we got to do is.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Good night, everybody.
What time? 10 o'clock. Right on.